40.com. Have a great day. It's been great having you. Thanks for giving me this Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow right after. Well, no, we'll be back tomorrow, but stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show right after the CBS News coming up next.
Vem cá, vem cá, vem cá samba com samba da. Vem cá samba.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Hurricane Dean is less than half what he once was, down to Category 1, 80-mile-an-hour winds, as he spins in the southernmost end of the Gulf of Mexico, the Bay of Campeche. CBS's Adrian Bard.
Before leaving the Yucatan Peninsula, Hurricane Dean's 165-mile-per-hour winds knocked down power lines and caused extensive flooding in Chetumal. But somewhat miraculously, considering the force of this storm, there are no casualties to report thus far.
The storm is expected to go ashore in Mexico again, south of Veracruz, in a day or so. President Bush has arrived in Minnesota, where he meets with officials to talk about the collapsed bridge in Minneapolis, as well as flooding in the Midwest and the disaster declaration that will help rebuild. It is still flooding in northern Ohio, for example.
I asked God to water my flowers at the St. Mary's Cemetery, but I didn't ask him for all this.
The CIA's inspector general says between 1998 and 2001, the CIA talked a good game about a war against Al-Qaeda, but didn't actually back it up with money or resources. CBS News counterterror analyst Paul Kurtz.
There was not a comprehensive strategy in place, and there were many serious missteps that took place that could have better positioned us to understand the plot that was unfolding against us in the months prior to 9/11.
It means the CIA under both Presidents Clinton and Bush get the criticism. The mortgage foreclosure story only gets worse. Realty Track says 1% higher are the foreclosures. Bottom line is easy. The home loans really were too good to be true, and people didn't think things through.
We're in the midst of a true housing debacle. The mortgage markets have put out there a lot of money that simply shouldn't have been loaned to people. This is a crisis that will go on for the next few years.
Christopher Thornburg at Beacon Economics. Space Shuttle Endeavour came back with style today. And the twin sonic booms that meant the heavy glider was disturbing the air big time on its way home. As for the space station building mission, NASA Chief Michael Griffin says job well done.
It's an awesome accomplishment that we're in the middle of. We're not done with it. Every flight is a hard flight. Every flight is the most important flight, and that will remain so until we're done.
The Aussies have come up with a new campaign to try to dissuade aggressive drivers. Give them the finger to show them you're not impressed. The pinky finger. Beautiful women, grannies, even young people are flipping aggressive drivers their little finger. Because in Oz, it makes a disappointing assessment of a man's underendowment or his lack of virility. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 30 points today. The Nasdaq gained nearly 13. Oil, $69.47 a barrel, down $1.65. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2007 Honda Clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 3rd.
Sears Book Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought four Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at $9.59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
Do you have high blood pressure? Are you in the fifth grade yet? Talking to the same heavy patient there.
Did you know millions of children have high blood pressure? If you didn't, you're not alone. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds many doctors don't recognize it.
It's not that we're just missing a couple hundred patients.
Boston pediatrician Dr. David Kalber.
We're really missing a huge percentage of patients with this disease.
3 out of 4, the study warns. It says electronic medical records could help doctors spot the problem and treat it.
CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington. You know, jobs were hard to find in Boy River, Minnesota, so Rod Mayday set out for Gillette, Wyoming to try his luck. He'd heard there are a lot of jobs there. It took 6 weeks to get Gillette on his mule. He says once his saddle sores are better, he's good to go. But he also says Wyoming's been a disappointment. People made fun of him for riding a mule, which surprised him, so he says he's moving on down the trail. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Want to get your business noticed? Maybe you need to stand out more. At the Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot, you can print or engrave your logo on business cards, letterhead, and envelopes, and on thousands of promotional products, including apparel, pens, and more. And if you don't have a logo, Office Depot can help you create one. Help your business get noticed. Stop by Office Depot, and we'll show you how. Office Depot, taking care of business.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin works hard to relieve my worst allergy symptoms. Sneezing, runny nose, for a full 24 hours. It works so well, only Claritin has proven to make me alert and focused. Not drowsy, like some other medicines can. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Stay alert, stay focused, live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed, only brand clinically tested.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Can we talk, huh? The answer is yes. And we give credit to Joan Rivers for that question and that inflection. She's got a new one-woman show just opened in San Francisco. I'll be yakking at you for the next 3 hours. I'm glad you found this program. We originate in San Francisco. We're heard on great radio stations up and down the left coast. And our brand new affiliate, Big Sky Radio in Laurel, Billings, Montana, on 1490 AM. Good to have you listening. And the first Montanan who calls, who's within the signal range of Big Sky Radio, we've got a little prize for you. It's a music CD by my friend Roy Zimmerman, which will get you laughing and dancing all at the same time. So, Montana, check in with us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It works everywhere in the continental U.S., and I'm told it works from Hawaii as well. 888-573-8372. And if you prefer, you can always drop me an email, 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or you take exception to what I told you, send it to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. It will reach me. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with Melissa Henson from the Parents TV Council. They've just issued the 10 best and 10 worst television advertisers of the past year. We'll find out why. We're also going to tell you about a new organization that is combating advertising aimed at children, now pegged at $15 billion a year. It all started with those damn Happy Meals, and it's gotten way out of control. We'll tell you about that a little bit later this hour. In our second hour today, Cliff Schechter returns. He's the guy who runs the realmccain.com website, and he'll tell us about his book about John McCain, which, we'll give you the details, but McCain's not faring so well, and the publishers don't know if they want to put the book out. Also, he's now working with Robert Greenwald at Brave New Films, and we'll find out their latest response to the phony news that is broadcast by the Fox News Channel. Also on today's program, Paul Helmke, the president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, will be with us, along with California Assemblyman Mike Feuer. Mike is the author of a bill that is up for a vote in Sacramento this week that would require micro-stamping for new guns, and it would give us an incredible evidence trail should that bill pass. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll find out a little catch-up from my vacation period, why the Joe Wilson, Valerie Wilson civil suit has been dismissed and what they plan to do about that. and also a court ruling in the rather unusual search of Congressman Dollar Bill Jefferson's Capitol Hill offices. And also we're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. We don't talk sports too much on this program, but Michael Vick has agreed to plead guilty. And I want to compare the violence that he is accused of against dogs with the weekly violence brought to you by the beer companies and the major networks right there on your boob tomb at home. I heard some callers on a talk program earlier today who didn't seem to acknowledge that football is very violent, but they do acknowledge that Michael Vick was very violent toward dogs. So that's all ahead, and I encourage you to participate whenever the urge strikes you. Call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I want to kick off the show by welcoming Professor Curtis White to our program today. He teaches English at Illinois State University. He wrote the book, The Middle Mind, Why Americans Don't Think for Themselves, and I recall talking to him when that book came out. And he writes frequently for one of my favorite publications, Harper's Magazine. Curtis White, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
I'll note that you're talking to us from Normal, Illinois, and we will pass on the normal jokes.
Yeah, I'm here in a form of internal exile, I think, for the last 30 years. I grew up in the San Francisco area, so my heart's with you.
Okay, well, great. He's got a book out called The Spirit of Disobedience, Resisting the Charms of Fake Politics, Mindless Consumption, and the Culture of Total Work. And, Curtis, I pride myself on reading the books of authors. I'm running a little behind, and I just got to the point where you're bitch-slapping Al Franken.
Oh. Yeah, actually, that little section got some notoriety recently when it was run in the Playboy forum section.
Oh. That's interesting.
You didn't hear from Al, but...
Yeah, well, you ding Bill Maher and Ann Coulter in the same part of the book. And now that I've taken that gratuitously out of context, why don't you provide a little context and tell us what the key message points are of your book and how it gets us to Ann Coulter and Al Franken?
Oh, as usual with my books, it's a kind of all-over-the-place meditation on our cultural and political situation and ways to think our way out of it. The section on Al Franken is a section about what I call the holy horror syndrome, in which those who would seem to be the advocates of the the left are actually in subtle ways working against it, or are certainly more conservative than they seem.
Well, let me lift a quote from you here. Let me just say it. Franken and Maher, two of the best-known, best-loved liberal heroes in the good fight against conservative extremism, are conservatives. This is so if what is meaningful in their work is not its sporadic, spectacular, and scandalous opinions on hot-button issues like flag-burning, but simply a willingness to agree that there are limits to what can be said and thought, and that those very limits precisely conserve the status quo, the two-party system, the reign of corporations, and the legitimacy of something called the war against terror.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that.
I hope so. Otherwise, we'd have to have you see a doctor for schizophrenia. But I think it's very interesting. I love to watch Bill Maher, and I got HBO just for that. But it is frustrating at the same time, because he edges up to being politically incorrect, and then he adopts the framing and the language and often the kind of status quo or prevailing wisdom on many issues, where he's willing to tell a really tough joke, but when he follows it up with his own commentary, he often undermines the position he took.
Well, you know, both Franken and Maher are unwilling to really distance themselves from what is finally a very conventional, patriotic American political position, and that's frustrating for me, and I take it's frustrating for you. So, you know, I mean, Maher will take on, as he does, the flag-burning issue, and he'll say that, you know, the issue of flag-burning is an issue of freedom of speech, and we should be allowed to have that freedom if we choose to. But at the same time, he'll say that the flag represents our freedoms. And, you know, there's something so hackneyed and trite and uninvestigated about that assumption that you just want to slap him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of the take that I have on it.
Yeah. Tell me what your thoughts are about Al Franken. You know, he spent 2 years at Air America Radio. He's now running for the Senate in Minnesota, and I certainly wish him the best in that quest. And as a liberal radio guy who's been in the business a lot longer than Al Franken was, I give him credit because he helped reestablish the viability of progressives in the business of talk radio.
Right.
And at the same time, he proved that he wasn't very good at it. His ratings plateaued after the first 6 months.
It was strange how bad he was at it because I always sort of liked Franken as a comedian. You know, his... what was that the thing he used to do with his take on
you mean Stuart?
Help Stuart.
Stuart Smiley.
Stuart Smiley.
Yeah.
I thought that was all very inspired stuff, and his Saturday Night Live comedy stuff was very good, but he seems somehow narrow and bitter and sort of unpleasant on the radio and TV programs, and I never quite could figure out what happened to that persona, the comic persona, kind of lost. And that was half of his charm, you know?
I agree. You know, the best radio shows he did was when he went on the road and was before a live audience at a college somewhere.
Yeah, he just became not funny in some strange way that lost him a certain kind of credibility.
He did prove that after working at Harvard and writing his books, mm-hmm. that he was quite a wonk, and he could cite, you know, page 42 of a 700-page defense appropriations bill.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't that compelling as a radio talk show host.
Well, what I think he forgot is the power of satire,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the sort of the power of being... I mean, some of the most powerful political stuff that I know about was, Eddie Murphy's early things on Saturday Night Live, where there was a sort of palpable anger and at the same time, you know, knockover comic shtick,
mm-hmm.
like when he did the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood thing. I mean,
and I love Velvet Jones.
It was funny, and it was, but it was also politically biting in a way that it was far more compelling than what Franken was doing. And yeah, I mean, I think people have to, people like Franken need to remember what got them to where they are, which was the power of humor and satire.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
well, that's what Air America really undelivered on, and it's
it was so disappointing. And I mean, you don't have to trace that. You can trace that power back really far. I mean, go mm-hmm. back to Jonathan Swift and A Modest Proposal, and or even the ancient satirists. Somehow, you know, he got to a position where he actually really he really could make a powerful kind of argument, and he forgot what the kind of argument was that he used to make, which was comic and satiric.
Very well put.
It's really kind of a waste.
Writer Curtis White, an English professor, English professor too, is with us. The new book is called The Spirit of Disobedience, Resisting the Charms of Fake Politics, Mindless Consumption, and the Culture of Total Work. We'll pick up after the break, and we're finished bit-slapping Al Franken. What do you say we go after Walmart and some environmentalists? That's coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
As long as there's been man, there have been UFO sightings. The Bible speaks of UFOs. People report sightings daily, so why doesn't this information make the news? Find out at the Bay Area UFO Expo, San Jose Doubletree Inn. Over 80 exhibitors, hosts, Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, Jesse Marcel Jr., John Lear, Sean David Morton, and others cover subjects including UFOs, Sasquatch, Kabbalistic healings, ET encounters, Tesla technology, Earth mysteries, and much more. The 9th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo.com at the San Jose Doubletree Inn this Saturday, Sunday, August 25th, 26th. Your chance to go above top secret at the Bay Area UFO Expo.com. Did you know that a UFO was sighted over the Monterey Fairgrounds during a blues festival? Or that Pacific Grove police chased a UFO at Asilomar?
Join me, Bob Oliver, Saturday morning at 11 a.m. as I host Monterey UFO Sightings. Then, on August 25th, 26th, meet UFO researchers at the Bay Area UFOExpo.com in San Jose. See you there.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. My guest is Curtis White. He's a writer, an English professor, and a thinker outside the boxer. The book is called The Spirit of Disobedience, Resisting the Charms of Fake Politics, Mindless Consumption, and the Culture of Total Work. The subtitle does violate our house rules here, but we read it anyway. Have you noticed the creeping length of subtitles, Curtis?
Yeah. Let me tell you something, though. The writers aren't always responsible for that. I mean, the cover and the title are really owned by publishers, by and large.
Yeah, I understand.
So, you know, it's people in marketing who make that stuff up, and the writer kind of goes...
Well, you have some very interesting ideas, many framed or referenced by great literature, but you're not averse to some jokes about goth rock, too. You're writing here about Hamlet, and you say that he's not only proto-goth, his favorite bands, The Cure, we're listening to now, and Depeche Mode, but also proto-Nietzschean.
Well, you know, I got started in this business as a novelist and a short story writer, and most of my stuff was comic. And so I bring a lot of that sort of sensibility to the nonfiction stuff. And, you know, it's sort of like we were talking about with Franken. A large part of the point isn't to be right. It's also to be persuasive. And you know, that's done in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. How many tunes by The Cure are on your iPod?
I don't have an iPod, man. I'm analog.
Oh, you're analog.
I'm old school.
All right. How many of their albums?
I still spin vinyl.
How many of their albums do you have?
I don't really have any Cure albums. But
okay.
It was my daughter. I'm more of the psychedelic era. It was my daughter that had me listening to The Cure.
Okay. Another quote here. Shoppers at Walmart undermine their own interests. They participate willingly, if with servility, in an economic order that is nothing short of cruel in its ultimate consequences. And it is cruelest of all, paradoxically, for many of those who consider Walmart their family store. Of course, it's well known now, following the recent successful litigation against Walmart's employment practices, that Walmart gives a new monstrous dimension to the idea of the dysfunctional family. Because it has systematically obliged its employees to work off the clock, it has created within its family a sort of part-time slavery. You will work for poverty wages with inadequate health and retirement benefits, and beyond that, you will work for X hours per week for nothing. We used to call people who work for nothing slaves. Not anymore. Slavery is creative business planning.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see how you'd react. I think it's very interesting what you've described there. And we put it in context with the 19 million Mattel toys made in China that have been recalled because the paint has lead in it. That really is the race to the bottom that was started by Walmart, which originally only sold American-made goods.
Well, you know, one of the ways that I've been thinking about it recently is sort of, you know, especially in relationship to issues of toxicity in China, is that, you know, you have this within contemporary post-industrial capitalism, you have this fine line between profit or profit margin and poison. And, you know, we're getting very good at beating up China for it, but I think we have to remember that China really is only a reflection of our own practices. So, you know, we can criticize China for putting toxic filler in our Viagra or whatever they're putting it in this week, but we also have to remember that our own agricultural practices are essentially this balancing act between profit and poison. I mean, it's only for American agriculture, it only becomes poison when somebody actually gets sick or they get sued. And so, you know, they have legions of litigation lawyers to take care of that stuff. But, you know, up to the point that it becomes poison, it's just profit. It's just about profit margin. And that's really what the Chinese are saying.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true for, you know, in other kinds of ways, for Walmart's treatment of its employees. It's about profit margin up to the point where it becomes about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of tipping point is what they're all about. You know, they're gonna push that limit. They're gonna push that edge, that tipping point, as far as they can. And then when they go over it, after having made scads of money, then they'll retreat a few steps and call in the litigation lawyers and the liability lawyers. But up until it becomes something that people say, hey, isn't this slavery? Or, hey, isn't this just poisoning people? It's just about profit. And, you know, the Chinese are getting, you know, beat up pretty bad about that right now. But, hey, that's what we do, too.
Yeah. I want to direct people to the website orionmagazine.org, O-R-I-O-N, Orion Magazine. And in the March-April issue, Curtis White wrote a piece called The Idols of Environmentalism. We don't have time to discuss it in detail, just a minute remaining here, but just a quick lift from it. When we talk about using the market system to deal with global warming, it's a way of saying that we're so frightened by the prospect of stepping outside of the market system on which we depend for our national wealth, our jobs, and our sense of normalcy, that we will let the logic of that system try to correct its own excesses, even when we know we're just kidding ourselves. And I think you offer a really interesting take on the whole notion, and you know, you're not trying to indict Al Gore, but you are critical of the framing and the language that he uses, because it does perpetuate the very things he's trying to challenge.
Well, I think that, you know, what I'm trying to get done in that essay, and it's a two-part essay, actually, that goes into the next issue of Orion as well, is some sort of self-scrutiny, you know, self-accounting of in the environmental community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's long overdue for that.
Yeah. Curtis, I wish we had more time. Pleasure to talk with you.
It's been a lot of fun.
We'll do it again. Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much. Curtis White. I'm Peter B. Collins. More in a moment.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins, and this week I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Mazda Miata MX-5, a two-door roadster with a hardtop convertible. It's got a fuel-injected 2-liter four-cylinder all-aluminum engine and a 6-speed manual. The Miata's quick and nimble, takes you from 0 to 60 as fast as you can shift. The Miata's low slung hugs the road with great cornering. With four-wheel independent suspension, the rear-drive Miata passed our grueling hill climb test with ease, unlike other rear-drive coupes I've tested. I give Mazda high marks for the engineering on the retractable hardtop roof. You push the button, and in 12 seconds, it opens the trunk, retracts the roof. I think it'll require less maintenance than more complex systems used by Mercedes and Chrysler. One downside, when the top is up, it's pretty noisy inside the cockpit. By the numbers, the Mazda Miata MX-5, rated 24 mpg in the city, 30 on the highway, stickers in California for about $28,000. I'm Peter B.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're going to talk about your television this half hour. Check out this song. It's an interesting indictment of tabloid television news.
I come home from work, I see my little girl. Crying on the floor. She been watching that TV. This ain't late, no. This ain't even dinner time. You show them things on that screen. What's wrong with you? You must be evil.
nation. You got a hold of something. You challenge that it's new. You don't have to show that stuff. Can't you show us some respect?
Show us some respect.
You can tell us we don't need to see. We don't need those cheap effects.
That's a song by British blues man Chris Rea, last name spelled R-E-A. And it's an interesting indictment of the suits who run our television news operations. And we can probably extend the honor to the suits who run the entertainment divisions and some of the suits who produce the commercials for corporate America that pay for our free television. Joining me to talk about it right now is Melissa Henson from the Parents TV Council. And I want to direct you to their website, parentstv.org. A lot of powerful information there. We'll detail some of it for you in this coming half hour. Melissa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me on.
You ever heard that song before?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty interesting. I once played it for a television news director, and he didn't get it. he did not understand the direct message aimed right at him.
Yeah.
But I think that most people, while we spend a lot of time watching TV, 6.5 hours a day is certainly a national average. Maybe it's higher now. You know, many people are uncritical in the viewing that they do, and they often don't really, you know, analyze it to get to the motive of why a certain item was presented either on a news program, an entertainment program, or in commercial content. And when you look at this critically, what do you see?
Well, first of all, I think your observation is 100% accurate. You know, I think there was a time when our public schools taught critical thinking skills, but they don't do that much anymore, if at all. And so people do sort of accept what they see on TV. And TV is, you know, has been described by some psychologists as a super peer, and I think that's an ideal way to describe it because it does sort of establish normative behavior. It tells us what's expected of us in certain social contexts. It tells us, you know, that violence is an acceptable solution to conflict, that, you know, being sexually promiscuous is fun, consequence-free, risk-free, you know, that it's not something that we need to worry about. And there are a lot of irresponsible messages in the advertising as well. And you know, there are companies out there that are paying for television content, that are helping to underwrite television content, and I think they should be held responsible for the content and the programs that they're sponsoring.
Mm-hmm. And that linkage is something that is very powerful and also somewhat murky because, for example, when Don Imus made his now highly regretted remark about the Rutgers women basketball team, there was first a kind of wave of protest and, you know, it appeared that they were going to weather the storm. But when advertisers were contacted, and when advertisers said that they could no longer sponsor or spend money on Don Imus's radio and TV shows, that's what really delivered the message to CBS and NBC that we've got a problem here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think as long as you are able to find companies that are willing to underwrite certain kinds of content, whether it's extreme violence or graphic sexual content, as long as there are companies that are willing to associate with that kind of content, willing to put their brand name, their corporate image on the line by advertising on those programs, that content will continue to exist. And it's only when advertisers take a stand for, you know, what's right, and say, you know, we're concerned about the messages that kids are absorbing from these programs. We're concerned about the influence it has on their behavior. That's the only time we'll ever see any positive change, I think, in entertainment content.
Melissa Henson is with us from the Parents TV Council. Again, their website, parentstv.org. And one of their recent projects was to identify the top 10 best and worst advertisers on television in the past year, between October 06 and May of 2007. And we'll run down the best and worst, your top 10 in just a moment. But I can't help but share this with you, Melissa. I've been working in the radio business for a long time, and when I first hit the big time and I got my first contract from CBS Radio, I was stunned by the language in there because I was doing a morning show and I regarded myself as what we call in the business a personality. And what they wrote down there about my duties, just it shocked me. And it was written in black and white in three sentences. And it said that my job was not to entertain people or to play music or, you know, to give them the weather and traffic together. It was to perform the leads into and leads out of commercials. That is the legal definition of my job as a radio DJ. And when I looked at that, I said, wow, that really pulls the curtain back on it, doesn't it?
Right. Wow.
And so the content on television, some of which may be your favorite show or my favorite show, I mean, I'm addicted to The Daily Show on Comedy Central, it is simply there to lure us, hopefully, to watch the commercials.
Sure.
And now I'm a TiVo guy, and as I look at your list, I have to profess that I watch so few commercials that you're going to have to help me identify, you know, some of the ones that were best and worst. And I feel lucky in that way that I zip past the commercials now, but they're finding different ways to embed commercial messages and sponsorship names and brand names into the content of the programs and, you know, via emails and all that other stuff.
Product placements
Yeah, it is insidious, and, you know, the money will find its way through almost despite any wall or dam that you put up. So let's start off with your top 10 best. You give Procter & Gamble the number one position, and I don't know what quite earned in that, but any time a Swiffer commercial comes on, I just can't take it. I have a Swiffer-free household. I don't know about you.
Well, let me preface this by explaining that what the Parents Television Council does routinely is we monitor all primetime broadcast television programming, and we rate those programs for their appropriateness for family audiences, giving them either a green light or a yellow light or a red light. So this ranking of the top 10 best and worst advertisers is based only on their primetime broadcast TV ad buys.
Okay.
It doesn't take into consideration anything else that these companies might be involved in. It's just based on their supportive or lack of support for family-friendly programming.
Well, P&G is based in my hometown of Cincinnati, mm-hmm. and they're the company that put the soap in soap opera.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if you evaluate their daytime shows, it might be a little different.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. For example, you list the number two best advertiser as the Walt Disney Company, and I do understand the parameters you just set. But in addition to their primetime advertising, they sell their brand names and their characters for use by other advertisers and through the third-party Pixar films that they distribute. For example, Shrek and some of these other characters are being used by corporations in particular to sell products to children.
Right.
So how do you evaluate that, and do you ding Disney for its willingness to lease its characters and brands for corporate exploitation?
Well, there certainly are other organizations out there that do take into consideration things like marketing to children, you know, promoting commercialism to young audiences. That there are basically other groups that do evaluate these other matters, but our focus really is just their advertising support for family-friendly programming, because in our view, without the support of advertisers, family-friendly programming cannot exist. But, mm-hmm. you know, by the same token, without the support of advertisers, the most egregious stuff on television couldn't exist either. So we are hoping to praise the companies that are making an effort, and many of the companies in our best list do seem to be making a very concerted effort to support family programming, and many of the companies on our worst list seem to be very sort of nonchalant about their sponsorship of some of the worst things on TV.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what gets my goat, Melissa, is that many of these same advertisers have a blackout list for progressive radio talk shows. Mm-hmm. They think that a program like this is too controversial, yet they will sponsor, you know, murder mysteries and grisly, you know, rape scenes and all kinds of themes that I find much more offensive than, say, criticizing George W. Bush or Alberto Gonzalez on a given day. But that's how they play it. All right, the top 10 best: Procter & Gamble, Walt Disney, Ford, Unilever, Viacom, McDonald's, Johnson & Johnson, Shearing Plough, and they make various products, Claritin, Nasonex, Dr. Scholl's, then the Coca-Cola Company, and General Mills. Mm-hmm. On your worst list, Toyota, General Motors, Limited Brands. What are they? What's Limited Brands?
That's primarily the Victoria's Secret brand.
Oh, okay. Payless Shoe Source, Vonage, that's the internet phone company. Volkswagen, Dunkin', I guess that's Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
Then a company that makes Clearasil, Lysol, Spray and Wash, Airwick, Woolite, Jet-Dry, Glass Plus, and Easy Off. Geico, the insurance company. Now, they have some clever commercials, but I haven't really noticed where they place them. And then finally, the Bayer Corporation.
Right.
So give us an idea and maybe some examples of why, for example, Toyota and GM are ranked one and two of the worst television advertisers from your family-friendly point of view.
Well, both of these companies actually were on our top 10 worst list last year as well. In fact, General Motors was number one, Toyota was number two. So they have a pretty consistent track record of disdaining family-friendly programming and putting their ad dollars almost exclusively behind shows with really racy content. You know, primetime broadcast TV doesn't look today like it did even a decade ago. You know, I can think of the shows that were on TV when I was a kid, and you used to have something called a family hour. The first hour prime time was set aside for programming that could be safely enjoyed by the entire family, and there were shows like The Cosby Show and Family Ties, and these days there is no family hour. But what's worse is you often have programs that are intended to be viewed entirely by adults, airing during that early time slot. And so quite often when you look at the ratings numbers, you'll see that there are millions and millions of children enjoying shows. Well, wrong choice of words there, but millions and millions of children watching shows like CSI, CSI Miami, and other programs that have, you know, in addition to really gory violence, they often have, themes dealing with child predators, or they'll have storylines about rapists or sexual fetishists or other kinds of disturbing content that really should not be viewed by kids.
Well, you just touched a button with me there. To Catch a Predator is a salacious, tawdry, tabloid-driven gotcha show where they entrap people who want to be sexual predators and then gloat over them in a judgmental way. It's one of the lowest forms of television and abuses of journalism that I've ever seen.
This ranking only takes into account entertainment programming, so it doesn't include news magazines or programs like that. But certainly, I think you're right. It is sort of indicative of the general trend of television programming. It's going to the lowest common denominator. It's all about sensationalism and salaciousness and we no longer really have a lot of television programs that are wholesome, that are uplifting, that are positive, that reinforce values that are important to our society. Instead, they sort of wallow in the worst aspects of human behavior.
We're talking with Melissa Henson from Parents TV Council, their website parentstv.org. In fact, they have listings of all the fall TV schedules on all the networks, and you can click on it and get a quick look at whether it's a green light for kids or not. Some very useful information there on the web. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Your dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. My guest is Melissa Henson from the Parents TV Council. Again, their website, parentstv.org. And, Melissa, just to show you how out of touch I am, I used to enjoy MTV when they actually played music videos. But since they've moved into, regular type feature programming, I was completely unawares until about 2 years ago. I was invited to a Sweet 16 party. And I thought, oh, how nice, she's turning 16. And I showed up without a black tie and was well underdressed for all of these teenagers. And it was a party that cost $10,000. Limos were used to deliver the young people to this party and take them home. And I learned after the fact that this is all an imitation of an MTV show called Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Where they celebrate money and greed and materialism in a way that I just never knew existed.
Mm. Yeah, I'm familiar with the program you're talking about. And, you know, we were speaking before about programs that celebrate the worst aspects of human behavior. And if you needed a poster child for that kind of programming, that would be it. You're absolutely right. I mean, it turns these kids into, well, I suppose these kids probably were spoiled brats to begin with, but it certainly gives them plenty of airtime and plenty of recognition for that kind of behavior, and certainly seems to me to encourage it.
And who sponsors that track, do you know?
Well, it's not something that was looked at for this analysis, but I would assume that you could find many of the same companies sponsoring that program as appear on our list here.
Very interesting. And if you had to pick one that you think is just the worst, and again, I don't believe you're a pro-censorship organization and you're not trying to prevent adults from seeing adult entertainment, but the kind of stuff that's on in prime time that's available to children of all ages, what would you think is the utter worst, or one that, at least in your own book, deserves special notation?
Well, the program that concerns me the most is actually an animated show that airs on the Fox Network on Sunday nights called Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it concerns me so much is because it is animated. That makes it particularly attractive to children, and I think many parents wrongly assume that it's safe for kids because
yeah.
it's a cartoon. But when you look at the sorts of themes that they deal with on that show, I mean, they've had storylines involving bestiality, necrophilia, I mean, some of the most horrific things imaginable. And it's all presented in this sort of light, fun, lighthearted, humorous context.
Yeah. I've watched it a few times.
It's really insidious. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I've watched it a few times. The lead character's name is Peter. And it does shock you when these, you know, amiable cartoon characters really, you know, delve into themes that, you know, you just don't expect, you know, Bugs Bunny to care about.
Right. It's you know, it's a whole new ball game when you're talking about these programs, and it is in fact one of the highest rated shows right now on television for children. So that I find that alarming,
mm-hmm.
And that indicates to me that, you know, either parents are unaware of what their kids are watching, or they're just not paying close attention to the content. But I think certainly parents do need to pay very close attention to the programs that their kids are watching, and you know, the one rule that I always distribute every time I'm asked is you know, that kids should not be allowed to have television sets in their bedrooms. I think that is the worst mistake you can make, and more than two-thirds of American children do have TVs in their rooms, which means that they're most likely watching TV unsupervised.
Yeah. Well, and parents, they do have a V-chip, and, you know, maybe 5% of them know how to use it. But also just parental supervision is important. You have to give a clear message about what you consider appropriate for their age and what isn't. And, for example, I like Comedy Central, but I would not leave it on all day long with a 10- or 12-year-old
right.
because some of those shows get into very, you know, adult themes and a lot of scatological language.
Absolutely. You know, it's I think, not enough to raise your children well, although we certainly hope that people do, but you also have to be very careful about who you allow your children to associate with. I think parents tend to be very, very careful about what friends that they allow their kids to hang out with. Well, television is sort of the same way. TV is very influential in the lives of children, and as I said before, it is kind of a super peer and can establish normative behavior for kids. So if kids are watching TV and they're watching shows like My Super Sweet 16, then they're going to walk away with the impression that it's okay to act like a spoiled brat or to throw temper tantrums if your parents don't spend $20,000 on your birthday party. It does sort of establish precedence for what is okay behavior.
Yeah.
So parents need to be aware of that.
Also, I want to point out there's an interesting website that has I've just become aware of. It's called commercialfreechildhood.org. It's based in Boston. And some of the founders of that were here in San Francisco for the American Psychological Convention. And this commercialfreechildhood.org is trying to fight back on the predatory behavior of advertisers toward children. And it's now $15 billion a year, they claim, that is being spent on advertising that is at least partly aimed at children. And I claim that it started with the Happy Meal and it's spun out of control. But we really do have a situation where the government no longer interferes with most broadcasting. And, you know, this is an area of great concern that I think has been growing. So I want to direct you to check out that site, commercialfreechildhood.org. And as we mentioned, the Parents TV Council is at parentstv.org. Melissa Henson, thanks for your work and thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Nice to talk with you.
Bye.
We're going to take a break and return. If you're listening in Montana, you can hear the rest of this program on the internet at peterbcollins.com. Coming up next, Cliff Schechter will join us. He runs the Real McCain website, and we'll talk about what happened to his book and some of the other things he's working on. Plus, stamping of bullets. We'll talk about that next hour, too, right here.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6000. 6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CIA report says the CIA blew 9/11.
Human beings made mistakes.
Katrina survivors waiting for Hurricane Dean in Mexico.
It looks like Katrina did whenever it was first coming in. Same condition.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. The CIA's own watchdog says that the CIA blew it. In a two-year-old report just declassified, the scathing review says agency leaders missed opportunities to stop 9/11.
Top CIA officials say they reject what their inspector general concluded, that budgeting and cooperation were poor, and the agency didn't see the possibility of an attack in the U.S., says CBS News consultant Paul Kurtz, a former White House official.
There were many serious missteps that could have better positioned us to understand the plot that was unfolding against us.
This report, with some details blanked out, says no single silver bullet could have prevented 9/11. CIA Director Michael Hayden comments, "We have to focus on the present and the future, not the past." Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Report lays most of the blame on former CIA Chief George Tenet. Earlier this year on CBS 60 Minutes,
people were inundated with data and operations, and they missed it.
Now this.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. And with the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back-to-school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot. Taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires with class-leading off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. For more on LTX AT2 tires and Michelin Man's whereabouts, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere. Plus, enter to win a Via Michelin GPS.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus select competition. No purchase necessary. See website for claim and promotion details.
Hurricane Dean, responsible for more than a dozen dead in the Caribbean, blowing through Belize. And as those 160-mile-an-hour winds tear across the Yucatan, everyone in their path trying to get out of their way. But
there's nothing flying in or out. I can't get out. Nobody could get out right now. So, and there's a lot of people. All the hotels and everything is booked around here. You can't get a room.
Charles Clark in his room at the Holiday Inn at Ciudad del Carmen in Mexico. So far, the remnants of a tropical storm, Aaron, proving as deadly as a hurricane. Floodwaters killing people in Texas and Oklahoma. These are rescue operations going door to door, by boat in some cases, because trying to drive around flooded areas like this neighborhood in northern Ohio, very challenging.
We just knew we couldn't get through, and now we're lost, frankly. With good maps, we're still lost, because at every turn there's a barrier now.
More rain expected. Latest news on high blood pressure focuses on kids.
When it comes to our kids' health, we depend on doctors.
The normal assumption is, well, if a child has a disease, the pediatric provider is going to figure it out.
That's not the case, though, with high blood pressure, a growing problem often linked to obesity. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds it's diagnosed in only about a quarter of children who actually have it.
Over 1 million children in the United States have high blood pressure, not identified.
Co-author Dr. David Kalber says it's a tricky diagnosis in kids, but that an electronic medical record program could analyze checkup data and raise a red flag. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Welcome home, Endeavor. CBS's Peter King at the Cape.
This is the sound of music on a shuttle landing day.
twin sonic booms announcing Endeavor's arrival.
Congratulations, welcome home. You've been given a new meaning to higher education.
Teacher turned astronaut Barbara Morgan learned about the physical stress of a shuttle landing the hard way. She wasn't feeling too well.
Well, actually, I was doing some good science back there. The room still spins a little bit, but that's okay.
Morgan says readjusting to Earth is tougher than getting used to floating in space. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Funeral in Utah today for one of those rescue miners killed trying to reach trapped colleagues.
The first of the farewells took place here for Dale Black, one of the rescue workers killed last week. He was remembered by friends and relatives. His daughter, Ashley, talked about how her father wanted to rescue the six trapped miners.
My dad worked as hard as we knew he would to get those miners out of there. And he never gave up hope.
Other speakers said they were not surprised that Dale Black was there trying to help.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Mr. Opportunity again. And if you're hearing my voice, that can mean only one thing. It's Honda clearance time. So, say it with me. Lucky you, because that means it's your chance to pick an Accord, a Civic, an Odyssey, or any other Honda you want for a deal that's very sweet. And even though this is summertime, you might want to put a little spring in your step because I don't hang around forever. Hey, it's your money. I'm just trying to save you some of it. The 2007 Honda Clearance. I'm Mr. Opportunity. I'm back. And I'm knocking. Clearance ends September 3rd.
Sears Book Chapter 9, Tires and Dads. It all began when Jill got her license. Her father looked at the family car's ball tires and panicked. He went straight to Sears Auto Center and bought four Goodyear tires at the lowest prices guaranteed. So when Jill safely rolls in at $9.59, he's glad he chose the best. This life chapter and the lowest prices on Goodyear tires can be found in the Sears Book. For a limited time, get a $20 or $40 Visa cash card with purchase of four select Goodyear tires. Sears, where it begins.
Rebate offer ends 8/25/07. Exclusions apply. See store for details on offer and the Sears Price Match Plus policy.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Oh yeah, but it's gonna get better in 08, right?
He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Later this hour, we're going to talk about micro-stamping for new guns in California. Paul Helmke, president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, and California Assembly member Mike Feuer will join us. That's coming up in about half an hour. But first, it's time to welcome back one of my favorite folks, Cliff Schechter. He's a political activist, operator, and been working on a book about John McCain. He is the proprietor of the website, therealmccain.com, and I've got it up right now, and I froze the video with John McCain and Jerry Falwell. It's priceless, Cliff.
Yeah, it's good work, isn't it?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I haven't been to the Real McCain since my vacation, which was over a month ago. And you brought me some news here. I didn't realize that McCain's Florida co-chair was arrested for a George Michael offense.
The bathroom can be a dangerous place when you work for John McCain, apparently.
Bob Allen apparently offered to perform oral sex on an undercover cop in a public bathroom.
Yeah, and the story got better and better after it broke originally, because first he did for $20, mind you. I thought, well, I guess he's not expecting his services would be that good. I thought there'd be a higher rate than that, but put that aside for a second. After he got caught, first he blamed it on African Americans and said that the undercover cops were black, and that scared him, and that's the only reason why he did it, because he was scared because they were black. And then he blamed the Cubans somehow, which is always a smart thing to do in Florida.
Mm-hmm. When I get scared, I usually go to a cop and say, would you please blow me?
Exactly. Well, that's the way it works with me. I mean, I find myself offering people money for oral sex whenever I see large, husky African-Americans, as he put it.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the effect they have on everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he besides being morally questionable, is an idiot. And you know what? It's not even just the $20 in the bathroom, because I don't even really, people want to pay each other for sex. I frankly couldn't give a damn.
Yeah.
It's, of course, as usual with these guys, he was one of the people who tried to pass one of these laws banning, you know, obscenity in public places and all sorts of things like that. I don't remember the exact law that he tried to pass, but it very much was exactly what he did.
So hypocrisy.
Yeah, well, that's what always gets me. It's not the guys, you know, that most of this stuff, unless it's obviously pedophilia, rape, and things that we all agree on. But if, you know, most of the personal stuff between two consenting adults, I frankly wouldn't give a damn, except for the fact that they all try to tell the rest of us how to behave.
Right. Yeah.
And that to me makes it an issue.
Now, Cliff, it appears the McCain campaign is dead in the water. You think that Tommy Thompson ought to call him up and say, "Hey, John, I figured it out. Why don't you figure it out? You're not going anywhere."
Yeah, I know. I mean, Tommy Thompson got his name recognition up. That should help sell some books whenever he writes one, I suppose. McCain should figure it out. And as I was telling you earlier, everybody else seems to have figured it out. My publishers figured it out, which is why I'm no longer writing a book on John McCain.
Now, explain that, because Poly Point Press is a great progressive house just down the road from me here in Sausalito. Went to a party there, and the publisher is he's an amateur winemaker, and he does pretty well. But what was the decision, and did you have to give back your advance?
Thankfully, the second answer, part B, is no. I was involved in the decision with them. I mean, believe me, I've worked for many entities that I could spend hours and waste your show's time complaining about. They've been nothing but terrific. They approached me about it about, you know, I want to say 6 weeks ago now, and said, you know, let's discuss this. And I think had I fought hard and said, I think this book should keep going forward, they would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But we really, you know, a few of us, the marketing guy, but also my editor, myself, we all talked about it. And it just didn't make sense. I mean, a lot of the damage had already been done, and I guess hopefully some of the real McCain efforts I was involved in, efforts other people was involved in pointing out who the real McCain is. Because of the way the book had originally been written, not assuming that he would run perhaps the worst primary campaign ever, that he was going to be the nominee, I kept trying to make little tweaks and changes, but the truth is there would have to be a complete rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
It would take me God knows how much time. And then we don't even know if he's still going to be there. My guess is he won't be. So we talked it over, and it just didn't make sense. So they were terrific. They were going to offer me, they said they hoped we could earn another book together, but they offered me the final third of my advance, which they still owed me, and said, you can walk away. And I really treasure loyalty.
Yeah.
So I feel loyalty to them, and I had another book idea on Republican scandal, you know, something there's not much of. So we start talking about it, and we haven't gotten that far into the talks, but it looks like hopefully we'll work together, and I'll be writing a book that probably John McCain will be part of the book, because, well, with Republican scandal, there's that thing called the Keating Five and a few others,
yeah,
where he may just pop up.
Well, if I can be your agent for a moment, why don't you set up the contract so you get paid by the word?
Yeah, there's a good idea. So, yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Uh-huh.
But if I get paid by the word on a Republican scandal, I could be a millionaire within a week.
Now, was there a calculation, and you know, feel free to be just brutally honest about this, that because McCain is, you know, trending down in a spectacular way, that publishing a book about him at this time just wouldn't be profitable?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of it. You know, look, when you go somewhere and you sign up with a specific house for a reason, in this case, a publishing house that's progressive because I'm trying to push a cause and something I believe in, but obviously I have to make a living. They have to make a living. We want to make a profit. So you have to think about both things, and it didn't make sense on either level anymore. A lot of the damage has been done to him such that the story I'm telling isn't going to be so new to anybody anymore. It seemed like when I started writing this book, the media refused to cover what a serial flip-flopper he was. Remember, you know, this is only a year ago where they still were knighting him and refusing to tell the story about him. And we feel like we pushed some of that out there, you know, with some of the efforts we made, and others did too. Again, I'm not taking all the credit. I mean, maybe my credit's minuscule. But so with that already done, one of the justifications for the book was done. And then when it came to profitability, if the first thing is out the window, are many people going to buy a book when they're already getting a lot of this stuff reported on?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the answer, the conclusion we came to is it just didn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
But I still feel like I wouldn't trade it for anything. It got me involved in my first partnership with Robert Greenwald, and I'm now fully, you know, working with Brave New Films on a number of efforts.
That's great.
It was terrific in that way, and it was terrific in a way that I feel like we did bring the real McCain to people, and so they have more of an idea who he really is.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no apologies.
Well, I have an idea for you, Cliff. Just last week, we were doing a segment about some environmental laws in Oregon, and some right-wingers jammed through a ballot measure that permits a landowner to sue the government for what's called an illegal taking. And what it means is if they prevent you from building an oil refinery or a theme park on your land, that you can sue them for the money that you claim you lost. And so I think you should sue John McCain for illegal taking of the profits of your book, because if he had performed properly as a presidential candidate, he'd still be in the mix, and you'd have a prospective bestseller in your hot little hands.
That's a good. That is an excellent point. In fact, if I may be so bold, if much like his campaign co-chair in Florida, Bob Allen, or if he hadn't, much like his campaign co-chair in Florida, I should say, sucked, and I'd have a book out there right now. So I'm pretty pissed off about that. Frankly, any chance to make a joke, you know? But
well put.
It's all good. It's all good.
Well, interesting blurb in today's New York Times, and it offers a little scorecard comparing John McCain, who's pretty much out of the picture, with Fred Thompson, who appears to be ready to take over the picture. And they evaluated Fred Thompson's career as a senator, and they came up with a total of 5 bills that Fred Thompson was chief sponsor, and a 6th one, and he served 1 term, 6 years in the Senate, that passed by the Senate and was replaced by an identical House bill. And the contents of the bills that he authored included the naming of a post office and courthouse in Cookeville, Tennessee, a private bill granting permanent residency to a Bolivian girl being treated for cancer, and several other minor pieces of legislation.
Even on the major issues. why am I not surprised? This guy is such a concoction, such a joke. You know, he's the wet dream of everybody who wishes Ronald Reagan were still alive in the Republican Party. Even if they have to go for a guy that, like, is an extra in movies like Baby's Day Out, they'll do it. I mean, Fred Thompson, they're literally projecting all of their Reagan worship onto him. The guy, he's a lobbyist for a number of years, lobbied for pro-choice groups, you know, is currently married to a woman that's younger than his daughter from his first marriage. I could go on and on.
He's got 2 sons who are lobbyists, too.
Oh, well, it's good that at least that runs in the family. And you know what? He's also known by people in Washington to be somebody who didn't want to stay in the Senate because the work, as you can tell from the 6 bills that he sponsored that were nothing, the work was too hard. He's another guy like Bush that sort of coasted and not done anything. And that they're projecting everything into this guy, that he's going to be their savior. He can't even figure out how to actually get into the campaign. He's been a almost candidate now for I don't know how many months, and he's been screwing that up. So maybe he will follow in John McCain's footsteps.
Yeah, very interesting. We're going to take a break and return with Cliff Schechter. You can still visit therealmccain.com. There's some great information there. And in a moment, we will talk about Brave New Films and their latest effort to take on the Fox News Channel. That's coming up next. If you want to talk with us, Cliff's with us another segment. Toll free, the number is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Alrighty, folks, it's time for traffic. That means we've got to give you some traffic. So let's see what we got going on. CHP telling us about a problem right now is our computer. There we go. On, State Route 68, right at 17. It's a debris in the westbound lane. That's the only information we have. I think they're probably saying this is actually Highway 68 just before Portola Drive. And so we have boxes and glasses in both lanes. There's heads up. Highway 1. At State Route 183 in Monterey, we're getting report of a two-vehicle crash, although it does not appear to be blocking any lanes at this point. East San Martin Avenue at Monterey Road, getting word of an accident there. No, it's a non-injury crash, two vehicles. It's a Ford truck and a Toyota Prius off to the shoulder. This report brought to you by IHOP.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. And to our Republican listeners, I know you're working hard at this, but keep up that sexual abstention. It's good for you. It's good for the nation.
Oh, baby, looking at you tonight. There's something I'd like to do tonight. I believe in abstinence only, but I don't want to leave you lonely, so abstain with me, baby.
All night long?
All night long. Come over and refrain with me, baby.
That's our man, Roy Zimmerman. Visit his website, royzimmerman.com, and you can find out how to get your own copy of that CD called Faulty Intelligence. Cliff Schechter is with us. He's still got therealmccain.com. The website is up, and Dave's got a comment. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and Cliff. You know, it occurs to me that as much, with all of his flip-flopping and all of his attempts to kiss up to the wackos and Bushes, when you look at the rest of that field, he's probably the most credible among them.
Cliff, do you agree?
I got to be honest with you. I couldn't hear any of that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's my fault here. I've been trying to tweak the system here to make sure this all works. Let's see. Dave's on this one.
Try it again?
Yeah, let's see if Cliff can hear you better now. Go ahead, Dave.
Can you hear me, Cliff?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I was saying that with all of his flip-flopping and with all of his attempts to kiss up to the wackos and the Bushes, with all of that, when you look at the rest of this field running, he's probably as credible as any of them.
I have to actually entirely agree with you. That's the thing. I don't know that anybody writing a book about any of these guys would have any luck right now. It's almost sort of, I was going to say, right as we cut to the commercial before, it's almost a race to the bottom, you know, and I guess the last one to get there ends up being their nominee, because Giuliani with the fact that he likes to spend more time at Yankees games than Ground Zero, but likes to talk about how much time he spends at Ground Zero, and Romney, I don't think, has one position he had 2 years ago, and we discussed Fred Thompson before, you know, I'm not sure who's left.
Well, Tom Tancredo, come on, the great American who's going to control our borders and keep the pesky wave of immigrants out.
That's a good point. Maybe Tancredo is the ticket. Maybe Tancredo Brownback, Tancredo... Who else is in there? I don't know if anybody else is.
It is a thin field.
Huckabee? Maybe.
The Reverend Huckabee, yeah. Now, it is scary, and you got some of these people like Gilmore of Virginia, and I cannot figure out why the hell he thinks anybody would vote for him for president.
You know what? I think he dropped out, actually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and I don't blame you for not knowing, because I'm not sure that many people knew he was in. But I do think he did. I think so. I think he dropped out just like Thompson did. I think he did a week or so before.
Oh, okay.
But then again, you know, I don't know who's left, right? There's Brownback, Tancredo, Huckabee, and I feel like I'm missing one or two. Ron Paul's still in there.
Right, yeah.
That's fun to watch him in there. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thank you for a call. I appreciate that very much.
Thanks.
Now, Cliff, you're working with Brave New Films, and tomorrow is another release day as Robert Greenwald and the team there keeps the pressure up on the Fox News Channel. Tell us.
Yeah, we like to point out, and we've done this with a number of our big video releases, which, by the way, we've done very well, and we've been really pleased on YouTube. We've had, you know, we did our Impeach Cheney.
Right.
It was the most viewed, not the most viewed political video, but the most viewed video that entire weekend, which was great. We're really sort of trying to do a number of aggressive campaigns, and Fox News. It's time. Enough is enough, I guess. I mean, and this has been, you know, since way before I got to Brave New Films, Robert and the folks there have been trying to point out how ridiculously silly and biased they are, as we all know. But
yeah, some people say Fox is fair and balanced.
Yeah, and they're the people that either smoke crack or work there, I believe. Or a little too much Oxycontin, like one of their heroes.
Right, yeah.
Taking clips of video, we did Fox Attacks African Americans and showed that Fox Attacks the Environment, showed how they bring on all these so-called experts to say that global warming isn't happening. And this time we're going to show how they pushed us towards our war in Iraq. A lot of the other stations, scared to stand up to them, went along with them. And now they're doing the same thing with Iran. And it's scary when you see people like Bob Baer, former CIA agent, saying that he's hearing that within 6 months we're going to bomb and attack Iran, and they're trying to push us into the same war. And you read the comments in his article that the neocons claim that when they remove the Revolutionary Guard, that's the only thing blocking democracy. Do you remember all this before?
Yeah.
When we remove Saddam Hussein, democracy will flourish. You know what I mean? It's the same idiotic comments, the same. They have no plan for the aftermath because they assume, just like last time, it's going to work out. I mean, these people are insane. They don't. They've been wrong about everything. I mean, they're just. It's amazing to me.
Well, and they keep building on that foundation. So what is the focus of this next campaign?
Well, what we're doing is we're asking people to sign a petition, sign a letter, actually, that we're going to send to all the other major news stations, to ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, and tell them to not follow Fox's lead. Fox is just very simply a talking points outlet for the Republican Party. They're not even conservative. Mm-hmm. They're Republicans. I mean, it's just that simple.
Well, and they're Murdochian, too. We have to put that out there.
But Murdoch, you know, he's made a career of this. He did it with Tony Blair in England. He did it with the Conservative Party in Australia. He'll kiss whoever's ass.
Yeah.
We'll end up giving him whatever he needs.
So let's direct people to bravenewfilms.org.
Yep, or they can go to, for tomorrow, it'll be up. It's foxattacks.com/Iran.
Cliff Schechter, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. Peter B. here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross and for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. It seemed like a good business strategy. The airlines would lower airfares, fill every seat on the planes, and make ends meet by cutting salaries, including the salaries of their generously compensated pilots. But it could be they've gone too far.
The problems that Northwest Airlines had in June and July, I believe, were just the beginning.
More after this.
Guys, are you doing the erectile dysfunction two-step? You know, excuses like, I don't have ED, I'm just tired. Even if it only happens once in a while, it could still be ED. But Viagra, also called sildenafil citrate, can help. It's already helped more than 17 million of us. Ask your doctor about Viagra, America's most prescribed ED treatment. And before you know it, you'll be singing a different tune.
Viva Viagra!
Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
During one period last month, Northwest Airlines ended up canceling 8% of its schedule when an unusual number of pilots called in sick all at the same time. Northwest recently came out of bankruptcy, but to do that, they had to cut pilots' wages by 40% while at the same time increasing their monthly flying hours, which can make even the most seasoned pilot feel a little queasy. But according to Terry Tripler, industry insider and owner of TriplerTravel.com, the real crunch is yet to come.
I think they're going to have to get the salaries back up to make it much more attractive to be a pilot.
Because now there's a pilot shortage. The industry needs 12,000 pilots this year alone. And the competition is getting ugly.
Some of the foreign airlines come to America and get American pilots. Some of them are offering them tax-free incentives.
Which means the pressure on pilot salaries is up, even as the pressure on airfares is down. And then there's the matter of that little war we're in.
We have a situation where Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine pilots are being used in Iraq and elsewhere, and they're just not getting out of the service and going to the airlines.
Plus, the airlines are trying to add more flights. More pilots are reaching the mandatory retirement age of 60. It's the perfect storm, which means that the end result of the effort to cut costs by cutting pilot salaries is that recruiters now must offer steep bonuses to draw in new pilots, and they may not be able to staff as many flights.
Going to have to start to combine flights, go back to larger aircraft, and pay more money.
Oh, well. The discounts were nice while they lasted. Maybe the smoked almonds will come back, too. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Fly me to the moon.
This Saturday, 11 a.m., KRXA 540, a UFO special. Monterey Bay UFO Sightings, hosted by Bob Oliver and special guest speakers of the 9th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo. Expo celebrities include George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., whose father examined UFO debris from the Roswell crash, actor-activist Gary Busey, researchers Jordan Maxwell, Hilly Rose, Sean David Morton. Subjects include implants, time travel, ET encounters, Tesla Technologies, Earth Mysteries, and more. Pacific Grove Police sighted a UFO at Asilomar. Could one out of 10 of us have witnessed a UFO? Tell us what you remember. Saturday, 11 a.m. to noon, UFO sightings over the Monterey Bay on Talk Radio, KRXA 540.
I love you.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes after the hour. When gun violence occurs, there's often a challenge to investigators and forensic specialists to identify where the bullet came from and what gun actually fired that round. There's an effort underway in California to assist in investigations into gun crimes by using micro stamps, which would essentially cause the trigger of the gun, the striking point, to leave a specific identifiable impression on the shell casing. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And Paul Helmke joins us. He's president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be on the show.
And before we get to AB 1471 here in California, I just pulled up your website and learned that next week, next Tuesday, August 28th, you are sponsoring a massive Million Mom March. Tell us about this day of protest and what the goal is and how people can get involved.
Well, actually, August 28th, next Tuesday, is the anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s March on Washington in 1963. And when I was in Chicago back early July, I met with Reverend Jesse Jackson, and he felt that really the issue of gun violence is one of the most important issues facing this country, particularly the African-American community today, and wanted to do something about it and felt that August 28th should be a day of national protest against gun violence. So the Brady campaign is joining with Operation Push, a Rainbow Coalition, Reverend Jackson, and we're doing events around the country to call attention to the fact that 32 people are murdered every day in this country, that we lose another 50 people to suicides and accidental shootings each day, and that this death toll doesn't need to happen. We can do something about it.
And Paul Helmke, it's got to be challenging for you because the mentality in this nation has shifted, I think, dramatically under the Bush administration. And, of course, Jim Brady was a great Republican who served well in the Reagan administration, so I'm not trying to be overly partisan about this. But we've seen that the NRA has flexed its muscles to the extent that nary a gun bill has been brought forward in Washington since Bush arrived. And to me, the low point was after the Virginia Tech shootings last spring. I was listening to a conservative talk show hosted by Dennis Miller, and his guest was Ted Nugent. And this was the day after that massacre. And Nugent was saying, well, let's hope this doesn't turn into a whole thing about hardware. And he went on to advocate that students and teachers should both carry concealed weapons in college classrooms, because his take was that if there had been some armed students or teachers in that building at Virginia Tech, that they would have been able to kill the shooter at some point in his rampage. And I just find that to be so wrong-headed, and it is passed off as wisdom in this era.
It's amazing to me. I actually did a debate against Nugent a couple days after Virginia Tech on one of the TV shows.
You did. Uh-huh.
And there's no logic at all. The more guns that you have in a home, the more guns that you have in a community, the more guns that you have in a city, a state, a country, the more gun violence, the more deaths from gun violence, the more injuries from gun violence that you're going to see. And I think some of these folks seem to not have learned the lesson from the Wild West. What happened in the Wild West is when everybody had guns, then the bad guys ruled. And what you did is you brought in the sheriff, you brought in law enforcement, and you strengthened law enforcement so they could bring peace to the area. Somehow, some of these folks seem to live in this mentality, though, that if everyone had the gun, then we'd be better off. The reality is if everyone had a gun, we'd see a lot more death, a lot more injury, a lot more accidents, a lot more suicides, and just a lot more violence. That's the wrong approach. I keep saying this should be fairly simple. We should make it harder for dangerous people to get weapons. Other countries have figured out how to do this. There are things we could do if we did background checks, good, complete background checks, actually, on every sale. If anyone had asked the Virginia Tech killer's roommates or professors if he should have had a gun, they would have said no. But instead, ATF puts out statistics on how fast they can go through a background check system and approve a sale within 7-8 minutes for people, and that's totally the wrong approach on the issue.
Yeah.
Guns are dangerous. Not all guns, most people know how to use them safely. but we make it too easy for criminals, for children, for people with a record of mental illness to get these guns, and that's why we end up seeing the violence we do.
We're talking with Paul Helmke, president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Again, if you visit their website, bradycampaign.org, you can get complete information on the Million Mom March set for a week from today, August 28th,
right,
next Tuesday. We're joined now by a man who appears to not be intimidated by the gun lobby and the NRA. He is an assemblyman, a Democrat from Los Angeles, Mike Foyer. Mike, welcome to our program today.
Thanks very much, Peter.
And tell us a little bit about the bill that you have authored, which would require that guns sold in California after 2010 would have a micro stamp on the firing pin. And this, as I understand it, would produce a unique mark on the shell, and this would assist law enforcement in pursuing investigations and identifying the weapon and perhaps the shooter involved.
Peter, you described the bill very well. That is, in essence, what the bill would require. And it's a bill that is important for one reason, and that is we should be doing everything we can to put killers behind bars. And we should be doing everything we can to give law enforcement the tools it needs to do its job. The NRA frequently says that we should be doing a better job of enforcing our laws. And that's what this bill ultimately requires. We just had a very interesting demonstration of this technology at the Police Academy in Los Angeles last week. What we did at the Academy was to demonstrate how this technology can be effective for law enforcement with the top law enforcement leaders in Southern California present. Police fired rounds, and then we examined the shell casings, which emerge from the weapon when a gun is fired, under a microscope right at the scene. And it was a live demonstration. There was no preliminary effort underway, and it was clear to everyone who was there what the make, model, and serial number of the gun was that fired the bullets. If law enforcement had that information, they could track down those who shoot guns and kill people. I've worked very closely with the LA County Sheriff, for example, Lee Baca, and his homicide division, who given me multiple instances when law enforcement arrives on the scene of a shooting, like, you know, two kids walk to their neighborhood mini-mart, are gunned down, shell casings are found, but law enforcement has no leads because the inadvertent markings on the shell casings don't give law enforcement enough information to track down a killer. We can change that with this bill.
And is the NRA in support of this, Assemblyman?
The NRA opposes this bill.
Now, why?
I will say that the reasons that they have given simply don't make sense. The NRA has said it'll be too expensive for law-abiding gun owners. But the cost estimates of what this technology would require of a gun purchaser have varied from 50 cents to $8 a gun. So let's assume the number is somewhere in the middle, a couple or $3 a gun, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a new weapon costs several hundred to several thousand dollars each. So putting a few extra dollars on the purchase price of that gun is a very nominal price to pay to have a safer society. The gun lobby also says that it would be easy for criminals to attempt to circumvent the technology. But that's wrong, too. As you described the technology, I want to elaborate a little bit on it.
Go ahead.
You indicated that within the gun, there is a point of contact between the shell casing and the gun when the gun is fired. Actually, my bill requires that on two places within the gun, there be imprinted this microscopic stamp. When the gun is fired, the shell casing, it comes in contact during a small explosion within the gun with both of these surfaces, and there'd be two marks then placed on the shell casing as it emerges from the weapon. For someone who wants to use a gun unlawfully, to take the weapon apart, to remove the firing pin, attempt to deface it, and then to do something with the breech face of the gun to also deface that redundant marking,
mm-hmm,
and then reassemble the gun and successfully fire it, would take enormous expertise that very few people have. And there is great doubt that the micro stamp could itself be defaced even if you could do all these make all these steps. So the argument that this would be easy to circumvent is simply wrong. And otherwise, the NRA makes a remarkable argument. Suddenly, the NRA is a leading environmental organization in the United States, And they make the claim that this bill could cause environmental problems because spent shell casings at police firing ranges could no longer be reloaded and reused, an argument that they have made in this legislature. By the way, the argument is absurd because, in fact, there is a great demand for the metal of which shell casings are comprised. These will be melted down and resold and then reformed again.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kinds of things that the NRA has been saying. And I have been shocked because I had assumed that they shared the cause that all of us should, and that is killers should be put behind bars. This does nothing to restrict the rights of a law-abiding gun owner.
Right. Paul Helmke, what's your take on the objections the NRA has stated to this bill?
Well, first, I just want to compliment Assemblyman Feuer for pushing this and being so successful with it. Actually, I think we had a chance to meet last year. I was my first month as head of the Brady campaign. I was in Los Angeles, and we did a news conference with the mayor there with regard to an earlier version of this bill. And just I'm so pleased to see him pushing this and doing such a great job with it. This is really a national. I mean, this is the top priority of the Brady campaign nationwide. To get this micro-stamping bill passed in California because it sets an example for other states. There are other states that are looking at it right now. And once California does this and shows that the technology works, shows that it's going to help stop crime, then it's something I think that we're going to see around the country. So it really is an important piece of legislation. And the arguments I've heard against it are just as silly as the Assemblyman just pointed out. One of the other arguments I've heard is that the bad guys will grab spent shell casings and they'll throw them at the scene as if, you know, when they're doing a drive-by, they'll have somebody in the back seat to make sure that there's other shell casings out
mm-hmm.
there. It's a ridiculous argument. It's something. I was a mayor in Fort Wayne, Indiana for 12 years, worked closely with the police department. Anything you can do to strengthen law enforcement to solve crimes is the right approach. And maybe this isn't going to solve 100% of the crimes that are out there, but if it even just helps solve 80% of the murders in California, that'd be significant. Right now, there's, I think, something like 45% of the murders in California. There is no lead on who did it. So having that shell casing, having that evidence at the scene can make a difference right away.
And Assemblyman Feuer, why is it that 45% of gun crimes in California go unsolved?
Well, I want to say, for there are many reasons, not the least of which is evidence at the scene of gun crime is often insufficient to associate the gun with the bullet. And we are going to make that, we are going to solve that problem with this bill. And I want to point out something, you know, as Mayor Helmke was describing his experience in Fort Wayne, it's been stunning to see the number of top law enforcement officials around California who are strongly supporting this bill on the record. We have more than five dozen police chiefs and sheriffs throughout California who are joining prosecutors in supporting this bill. It's overwhelming support from the law enforcement community for the very reasons that you've heard Mayor Helmke describe.
And it's my understanding that the Peace Officers Research Association that represents something like 60,000 rank and file PORAC
mm-hmm.
officers throughout the state is supporting it too, and that's very significant. They hadn't supported this legislation in the past, and they now see this as something important to their safety and to law enforcement in their community.
That's Paul Helmke. I'm sorry, Assemblyman. We'll return in a moment. Paul Helmke is president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. And Assemblyman Mike Feuer is a Democrat from Los Angeles, the author of the Crime Gun Identification Act of 2007. As we continue, we'll talk about its status and a critical vote in the California Senate coming up as soon as this week. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free at 888-5. Peter B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm unarmed, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super-grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia Natural Foods Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, and Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
All righty, folks, we are talking about a pretty big problem right now. And the old one, to give you all the details, a circular being issued there, which indicates a big, big problem. And let's tell you that we do have, it's a northbound 101 at Monterey Street. It's a grass fire. In fact, it's a rather large grass fire burning on the northbound side. Jumped over the lanes. The fire department has the right lane shut down there. What I can tell you is that also we can tell you that heavy smoke is being reported on both sides of the roadway. Now, we're just getting word that the fire looks like they have everything under control. They should be getting out the blaze relatively soon. San Martin, East San Martin Avenue at San Monterey, we have a crash on the right shoulder. And Highway 1 and northbound 1 of Santa Cruz and Monterey, no problems to report. Southbound and northbound 17, looking good there. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. It's a song from the late 80s called The Wild, Wild West.
47 deadbeats living in the back street, north, east, west, south, all in the same house. Sitting in a back room, waiting for the big boom. I'm in a bedroom, waiting for my baby. She's so mean, I don't care.
We're talking about some legislation pending in Sacramento, AB 1471. Its author, Assemblyman Mike Feuer of Los Angeles, a Democrat, is with us, along with Paul Helmke, the president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. And Assemblyman, before we continue our talk about your bill, do we have a budget deal yet?
We do.
Really?
Yeah, as of about 3.5 hours ago or so.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice because there are a lot of people who, rely on the state for various payments and funding, and those have been at risk and curtailed over the last few weeks, so I'm glad. What did the Democrats have to cave in on to reach an agreement with the Republicans?
Well, there were a few technical matters, none of which is going to make a major impact on the lives of people who we're trying to protect. So at the end of the day, it's terrific to have a budget concluded. It's terrific to protect the priorities of public education and the environment and other causes here.
And you didn't have to cut home care and some of those other things that the governor had on the chopping block?
Well, it remains for the governor, who always has the capacity to do what is called blue penciling
right.
in the budget to line out certain items, and we'll see what those items are. But so far, our priorities are protected, and what's most important is we have a situation now where those who are
giving care to people in nursing homes and trying to provide services for young kids and so on, can finally get the state checks they need to keep their doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for all of us a top concern.
Great. And so returning to your bill, AB 1471, you were trying to make a comment before I had to go to the commercial break, I think, about the unsolved crime rate in California.
Well, what I was really going to say is I was going to segue to the status of the bill, given that there is such a strong consensus among public safety experts that the bill is really critical to pass. The bill is slated to go to the floor of the Senate next week.
Okay.
So this show is actually critically timed. I think it's really important that all Californians be aware of the significance of this bill and the difference they can make in making sure it passes.
And do we have any recalcitrant senators you care to name that our listeners can call and lobby?
Well, no. What I prefer to do is to urge your listeners to call their senator and urge that senator to support the bill. I'm confident that the bill is going to pass, but not without a great deal of continued effort. The vote is going to be close, but at the end of the day, this bill is going to make its way to the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm. And it needs a simple majority. There's no supermajority requirement.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Paul Helmke, what is your advice to our listeners on behalf of the Brady campaign to try to get this bill passed?
Definitely, as the assemblyman said, call. Everybody should call their state senator and encourage them to support the bill, and to tell their friends, allies, seatmates, whatever, in the Senate to do the same. I was an elected official for a long time. Elected officials respond to those phone calls. It's amazing how much power that has. And particularly when we're dealing with the gun lobby, and they are powerful, they have a lot of influence. Ordinary folks that bear the cost and see the consequences of gun violence need to speak up on this issue and so many issues. But if we can get this passed in California and approved by the governor, it's an important step nationwide.
And Assemblyman Fuhrer, what is your sense of Governor Schwarzenegger and his posture regarding this gun legislation?
Well, I know how important public safety is to the governor. It's one of his very top priorities. We've had the opportunity to have preliminary meetings in his office. We're going to continue to do that. And in terms of what your listeners can do, ideally this bill will make its way off the Senate floor, and then it's up to listeners to contact Governor Schwarzenegger, because I do think that this bill is very much in keeping with what he considers to be the most important issues in the state. But it certainly would assist in that effort for him to hear from listeners about how critical public safety on their streets is to them. I want to add that the governor has made a special priority this year of combating gang violence, and this bill will make a major impact on gang violence. And if I might just share quickly a piece of the bill that we haven't discussed, and that is, in addition to tracking down killers, this bill will also have a deterrent effect on a major gun violence problem, and that is there are people who are termed straw purchasers, legal purchasers of weapons, who walk into gun stores and then purchase weapons that they resell illegally on the street. Once we're capable of tracing a bullet through the shell casing to the gun's original purchaser, a straw purchaser is going to be much less likely to want to put him or herself at risk of being caught.
Mm-hmm.
So this bill is going to have an impact on stemming the flow of illegal guns onto the street. It's going to benefit our efforts against gang violence and ultimately make all our streets safer.
And coming back to the governor for a moment, I've been concerned that in Arnold 3.0, we've seen him cozy up to the prison guards union, which I have a lot of problems with, even though I'm a staunch labor guy. And it's really unclear to me how tight Schwarzenegger is with the NRA and with gun lobby donors. Do you have a sense of that, Assemblyman?
I don't in particular, although I will say this. The governor has stood very strongly for supporting law enforcement in its efforts. And I think the fact that we have dozens and dozens of police chiefs and sheriffs, as I said, up and down the state in rural areas as well as urban areas, standing together with the rank-and-file officers, as we discussed earlier, is going to make a major impact on his thinking as he chooses on which side he wants to be, the side of law enforcement or the side of the NRA.
Very good, sir.
This really shouldn't be a partisan issue or even a conservative versus liberal issue. This is a common sense public safety issue using new technology, just as 80 years ago, fingerprinting and and police radios were considered a cutting edge. This is cutting edge now, and this can help make California safer and the rest of the country.
That's Paul Helmke, president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Visit their website, bradycampaign.org, and learn about next Tuesday's Million Mom March. It's a very powerful statement. You can join in. And Assemblyman Mike Feuer, thank you for your work. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan from Crew, and then the Free Speed Zone. We'll be taking your calls next hour at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale, reminding you to listen in every Saturday for my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m., honest talk about addictions and how recovery is possible. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. With addictions now the number one fastest rising disease in America, I mean all addictions, sex, food, gambling, alcohol, shopping, we are all affected. So listen in and call in. Saturdays 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, prevention and recovery centers serving the Monterey Peninsula for over 30 years.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Could the CIA have done something to prevent 9/11? The agency's own watchdog says yes, and the buck stops with former CIA chief George Tenet. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
The CIA's most glaring error was its failure to notify the FBI that two Al-Qaeda operatives, who later became hijackers, had entered the United States, even though the report says 50 to 60 people saw cables about their travels. Tenet, who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom and a $4 million book contract after he left the CIA, today called the Inspector General's report flat wrong, but admitted the victims and the families of 9/11 deserve better.
Hurricane Dean, done with its run over the Yucatan Peninsula, headed for open waters. So far, no deaths reported in Mexico, but poor communications make it difficult to tell how isolated Mayan communities have fared. The storm is expected to bulk up again as it passes over the Gulf and churns toward the Mexican mainland. The remnants of Tropical Storm Aaron, blamed for much of the misery in the Midwest right now, but mistakenly so, as we hear from CBS's Cynthia Bowers.
This is just a front that is sitting stationary across the Midwest, and individual storm systems are rippling across it because all the conditions are right there along that front to cause rainfall. What they haven't seen, you know, some of them in a lifetime, is this much rain in isolated places.
So much rain, it completely closed an interstate in Ohio.
Troopers along there said that they had never seen boats going along the interstate, and it was 3 feet of water over portions of this interstate. And, you know, that was just tremendously inconvenient because of all the traffic that's trying to get north to south.
More rain is on the way there, though the highway has reopened. In Minnesota...
Coming back here, I'm impressed by it. Spirit of cooperation that has taken place to solve the problem. The federal government, the state government, and the local government have worked very closely.
President Bush at the site of a deadly bridge collapse, approving an emergency declaration, opening the way for more federal recovery dollars there. High blood pressure, we think of it as an adult's disease, right?
Did you know millions of children have high blood pressure? If you didn't, you're not alone. A study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds many doctors don't recognize it.
It's not that we're just missing a couple hundred patients.
Boston pediatrician Dr. David Kalber.
We're really missing a huge percentage of patients with this disease.
3 out of 4, the study warns. It says electronic medical records could help doctors spot the problem and treat it.
They are back.
Endeavor will stop.
Flawless return from space for Space Shuttle Endeavour. The same could not be entirely said for teacher-turned-astronaut Barbara Morgan, though. While the crewmates hopped out of the ship, she stayed behind, still wobbly from the landing. Post-flight news conference, she allowed us how the room was still moving a little bit. The Dow down 30 points today. The S&P up 1.5. NASDAQ up 12. This is CBS News.
Erectile dysfunction isn't something you want to sing about, but you should talk to your doctor about it. I did, and so have millions of others. In fact, Viagra, also called sildenafil citrate, has already helped over 17 million men with ED. Ask your doctor if Viagra's right for you. America's most prescribed ED treatment. More satisfying sexual experiences with my partner. Now that's worth singing about. Viva
Viagra! Ask your doctor if your heart is healthy enough for sex. Don't take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain, as it may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects may include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. To avoid long-term injuries, stop taking Viagra and call your doctor right away if you experience a sudden decrease in vision or an erection lasting longer than 4 hours. Always remember to protect yourself and your partner against STDs.
To learn more, see our ad in Golf Magazine. Call 1-888-4-VIAGRA or visit Viagra.com today.
Wildfire. This time of year, we often associate it with the western states, but also on fire right now, North Carolina.
Record high 100-degree heat and worsening drought conditions have prompted a statewide ban on open burning here in North Carolina. Dozens of wildfires continue burning out of control. Jeff Orock with the National Weather Service says some areas need 25 inches of rain.
If you don't experience a tropical system or two, the odds of getting that much rainfall are actually pretty low.
It's so hot and dry, wildfires that flared weeks ago have rekindled. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
It's called the Bowser Bill, named after the Sha-na-na singer who has championed the rights of doo-wop bands, so often ripped off, portrayed by others on stage, others who were never in the Coasters or the Platters or the Shirelles. Now it's against the law to be part of a knockoff music act in New York. The governor signing the Truth in Music Advertising Law fines of up to $15,000. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. Office Depot has everything from binders to backpacks, calculators to crayons, all in one place. And with the Office Depot low price guarantee, you never have to worry about paying too much. Office Depot is the place to shop for everything on that back to school supplies list. So don't be late for school. Come in today to Office Depot. Taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? He's heading off-road to the daunting River of No Return. Fortunately, Michelin Man will return because he has Michelin's new LTX AT2 tires with class-leading off-road traction and smooth on-road comfort. For more on LTX AT2 tires and Michelin Man's whereabouts, visit michelinman.com/guesswhere. Plus, enter to win a Via Michelin GPS.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Claim based on internal Michelin off-road evaluation versus select competition. No purchase necessary. See website for claim and promotion details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
And if this were actually Peter B.'s America, I would decree that Karl Rove needs to apologize to Valerie Plame Wilson, just for starters. In a moment, Melanie Sloan joins us from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll talk about the Wilson civil suit and also the court ruling prohibiting further searches of congressional offices on Capitol Hill. And then we're going to open up the phone lines to talk with you. It's the Free Speech Zone. You can grab a line and be first up today. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. Melanie Sloan is Executive Director of CRU. That's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Their website, citizensforethics.org. Melanie, welcome back to our program.
Hi, Peter. Well, if it were my America, I would instill the Democrats with a little more courage of their convictions.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would. You know, Julian Bond has, I think, my very favorite quote, and I'll paraphrase it badly, but he once said, if one party's shameless, the other can't be spineless.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of shamelessness going around.
There sure is.
That part is definitely for sure. Brian, who is our assistant producer here, and frankly, he didn't pay much attention to politics before he came to our program. He distilled the battle between Senator Leahy at the Senate Judiciary Committee and the White House over these documents and the contempt of Congress issue as, hey, give me that. And the response is, no way. And you get two choices. You can, it's either go F yourself or just F off.
Right, and so far that's what I mean by the courage of their convictions. Now the Democrats have to actually go and do it. You know, they have to actually go and certify the contempt and force the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia to either prosecute for contempt or refuse to do so, and they need to go to court. They need to, you know, take the next step.
Well, and just yesterday at this very moment, I was ranting, you know, and trying to be fair about it, that Senator Leahy has properly described the White House as in contempt of the Senate. But then he says, oh, when my colleagues get back here, we're going to confer. And I'm sorry, that's not very much of a threat. I'd like to see him pound the table a little bit and say, I think it's time for impeachment for Alberto Gonzalez, just for starters.
Right. I think the time for conferring is long past, and it's now the time for action.
Well, Melanie, I wanted to talk a little catch-up here about two issues that had developments while I was away on vacation. One is that your office there at CRU has been retained by Joe and Valerie Plame Wilson to handle their civil suit against Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and other White House officials involved in the illegal exposure of her identity and her relationship to the Central Intelligence Agency. And the suit, I understand, was dismissed over the last couple of weeks. Give me a little background on that, and then tell me what the intention of Joe and Valerie Wilson is going forward.
Sure. The case was dismissed by Judge Bates, a district court judge here in the District of Columbia, who's a George Bush appointee, a conservative judge, and we're also in a conservative circuit, a conservative appellate court. And so we had always expected that the case would be dismissed. So nobody should think that this came as a surprise to us. But the nice thing about it is that this was just the first step in a long legal process. And Joe and Valerie were well aware of that. They always knew that the chances for dismissal at this point were strong. But the good part is we're going to go on to the next level. And really the next day after the court was, after the case was dismissed, we filed our notice of appeal. And so now it's up to the appellate court to set what we call a briefing schedule, which is to tell us when we have to file our papers saying why the case shouldn't have been dismissed, and then all of the defendants will have to file their response. The thing about the legal system is it takes a long time. So now that the case is dismissed, the court has to give us the briefing schedule, which will probably take us all the way through the winter. And then there will be an oral argument where we and the defendant's lawyers will all argue about what should happen, and then I don't really expect a decision probably till late next spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a great deal of patience because you can labor through these lengthy processes. It's unlikely that this case would come to a civil trial before Bush leaves office. Is that fair?
That is fair. It is unlikely, but the fact is that if we can get past the motion to dismiss, and this is why Joe and Valerie Wilson are in the case, they really want to get to what we call the discovery process. And during discovery, we get to take the depositions and ask for documents. And we want the depositions of people like Dick Cheney and Karl Rove and find out not just who leaked Valerie Plame's name, but the real reason behind the war in Iraq, the real rationale, which is, of course, why they went after Joe Wilson in the first place, because he had said that the rationale that the Bush administration gave, that Iraq had purchased uranium, yellowcake uranium from Niger, he had said that was false, and everybody knew it was false. And that's why they went after him, and that's why they considered Valerie Wilson, quote, fair game, and went after her mm-hmm. in order to pay back Joe Wilson. And obviously, it is outrageous, as Valerie has said over and over, that our national intelligence has been politicized in this way, that it's so important to treat intelligence as intelligence. And, of course, they compromised an intelligent asset who worked on issues relating to weapons of mass destruction,
right,
which is, of course, what we're also worried about in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's stunning and shameless to bring that word back into play. And as you look at the situation, Karl Rove resigned a week ago, went back to Texas for a minute, and then returned to Washington for a charm offensive on, he gave exclusive interviews to three of the four Sunday chat shows.
Not very exclusive then, is it?
No, not really. But it was interesting because he did dodge most questions about this and tried to push it off on Armitage. He called the prosecutor Paul Fitzgerald instead of Patrick. And it was striking in his dissembling, and Matt Cooper came on Meet the Press right after Rove had been there and charitably referred to it as dissembling and then provided the evidence that he was lying in regard to his exchange, the Cooper-Rove exchange, back there in the summer of 2003.
That's right, because as I recall, it's Karl Rove who in fact told Matt Cooper about Valerie Wilson working for the CIA.
Right. And this plays into one of my theories, and let me just get your reaction. That is that I believe that Rove and the others who were part of this White House Iraq group essentially operated in a conspiratorial manner. And in outing Valerie's identity and then blaming it on reporters, they believe that there actually was a reporter shield law or policy for at the federal level, which is not true. And they were able to buy a lot of time as Judge Walton was forced to subpoena people like Judith Miller and Matt Cooper and other reporters and force them to testify. And that process delayed the whole issue past the 2004 and then the 2006 midterm elections for the most part.
That's certainly true, and I wouldn't put anything past that cabal. There's really nothing they wouldn't do.
And so, in your view, did Rove shed any new light in attempting to dodge the questions on Sunday?
No. Sadly, the one thing that I heard him say was that he didn't feel that he owed Valerie Wilson an apology, which is just unbelievable at this state. Not only does he should he apologize to Valerie, but to all our covert CIA operatives and other intelligence officers around the world who put their lives at risk every day for our national security.
Yeah, very well put. Melanie Sloan with us from Crew, and we have our special theme music for our next topic. Yes, Dollar Bill Jefferson is an embattled congressman, a Democrat from Louisiana. He's the guy who had the $90,000 in FBI marked bills in his freezer and claims that he has committed no crimes. And certainly we will give him some benefit of the doubt, and ultimately he should face a court of law on that issue. But Valerie, I'm sorry, but Melanie, there was an issue that about a year ago, officials from the Justice Department, with a warrant, searched Bill Jefferson's Capitol Hill office on a Saturday night. And this was challenged, and on August 3rd, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals issued a decision essentially preventing searches like that from occurring in the future.
That's right. And at first I have to say this is a very complicated matter, and the Justice Department has not acquitted itself well to start. First, they indicted William Jefferson without any of the evidence from his Capitol Hill office. So what we learn from that is that they didn't actually need to do the search to get an indictment to bring Bill Jefferson to trial. So for the very first time they decided to search a Capitol Hill office, they did it when they didn't really need to.
Mm-hmm.
So they put this whole issue on the table before we really had to. And the problem with it is that this decision has now endangered all political corruption prosecutions around the country. And that is because something called the speech or debate clause in the Constitution is implicated here. The speech or debate clause says that nothing members of Congress or legislators say on the floor of the House or Senate can be used against them. And that has been held to mean not just what they actually say on the floor, but any legislative material. When the FBI raided the congressman's office, they took lots of documents, including some material that is legislative material. And the Justice Department, in some sense, won its case here in that they don't have to give back to Bill Jefferson every single document they found. They only have to give back the legislative material. But the important ruling of this case is that the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia found that the Justice Department is never entitled to even so much as set eyes on speech or debate clause material. Previously, courts had held that that material couldn't be used against somebody in court, meaning that speech or debate clause material couldn't be at trial used against Mr. Jefferson or used even to indict him. But now they've held you can't even see it. The problem with saying you can't even see it is that it is very hard in some cases for the Justice Department to avoid seeing it. And a good example of this that people can, I think, more easily understand is whereas you might be able to work around documents, you couldn't really do a wiretap because on a wiretap, You could never be sure of what the congressman might say that might have to do with legislative material. So how can you actually tape any of the call if you're not even allowed to, by accident, hear speech or debate clause material, even if you're not going to use it at trial?
So, Melanie, if I'm, say, Jerry Lewis or Ted Stevens,
You are, in fact, driving up to the Capitol building with all of your evidence of crimes, and you are stashing it in your office where it is safe from the prying eyes of the Justice Department.
Thank you for finishing my thought. You knew exactly where I was going. Well, we'll stay on this one. And there are no heroes in this case. Nancy Pelosi and Dennis Hastert both weighed in on the side of protecting Jefferson.
That's right. That's because they're all protecting all the next members of Congress who are going to go down.
Yeah. Thank you, Melanie. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, my pleasure.
Melanie Sloan at Crew. Coming up next, your phone calls. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, and I'm going to break my tradition and talk about professional sports, kind of. Coming up next, lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a bill of fare. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
And let's take a look at traffic, starting off with a big problem we told you last time about, and it was in the Gilroy area. It was a fire. It was a sig alert, actually. Let's give you the update. Northbound 101 at Monterey Street, grass fire, still burning on the northbound side. Looks like the fire department has it under control. And in fact, they do have it under control, and they're mopping up things as we speak. Traffic starting to recover just a little bit there, so that is certainly some good news. Monterey, northbound 1 before Camino Aguieto. It's a solo spin-out, partially blocking the roadway there. Also a reminder in, Salinas, Market Street between Monterey Street and Salinas Street, we have road construction expected detours in this area. This report brought to you by Office Depot. Free at Office Depot this week, a 50-pack of Post-it and by...
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. Collins. I'm glad you're listening. Now I want you to pick up the phone and give me a call. All our lines are open for the free speed zone right now, and you can be first, quick in, quick out, if you get on the line. Toll free, the number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We talked about what's on TV, about commercials, particularly those aimed at children. Cliff Schechter was with us about the demise of John McCain as a presidential candidate. We also talked about micro-stamping new guns in California with Assemblyman Mike Feuer and Paul Helmke from the Brady campaign. And you heard about corruption in Washington from Melanie Sloan. You can pick those topics or anything else you think people care about.
I mean, you keep looking out for number one.
888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, you may have noticed or deduced that I'm not much of a sports fan, and therefore we don't talk much about professional sports on this program. I have four brothers, and as Utes, they used to fight over the sports page, and I let them. And the bandwidth, the RAM, the the brain matter that many people devote to sports and movies, I devote to politics. And so that's why you don't hear me talk much about Barry Bonds or about any other major sports figure in America today. But I think the case of Michael Vick, the Falcons quarterback, who has agreed to plead guilty to dogfighting charges, is worth discussing. And if you have a comment on it, feel free to bring it on now, 888-573-8372. Earlier today, I was driving around the Bay Area, and I listened to a portion of KGO's Ron Owens program. And many of the listeners to this show are familiar with Ron and his politics and his views. And it struck me as fascinating that he was virtually foaming at the mouth as he denounced Michael Vick and the charges, the stories that have surfaced so far. And since a couple of his cronies have pled guilty, I guess we can stipulate that the stories are factual. What struck me is that Ron Owens and his callers did not acknowledge the violent culture that is the NFL. And they seem shocked, really shocked, that a guy who gets paid millions of dollars to go out on Sundays and throw a football around and, quarterbacks don't do a lot of tackling. They get tackled a lot. So he's been the recipient of many 300-pound men running after him, tackling him, and brutally, hammering his body. And I don't say this in any way, shape, or form to rationalize what Michael Vick is accused of doing. What I find interesting is the disconnect between his personal violence against animals, against dogs that he was, he was hyping them up to fight, and if they didn't fight to his standards, he would torture them and kill them through a very tortuous process, including dismemberment. And I have no problem denouncing that myself. I think it's ugly and grisly and inhumane. But isn't football ugly and grisly and inhumane? And isn't it, one of the blood sports that is really at the center of our commercial culture in this country? And that violence is celebrated on a daily, if not weekly, basis. And it is supported by all of the auto manufacturers, all of the beer companies, and others whose target audience and target consumers happen to be males. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about this today, about the culture of violence in our country. We talked about gun violence last hour. But what about the violence that is promoted, accepted, tolerated on a daily basis. And in your view, is the kind of aggression and personal violence that is seen on the football fields of the NFL, is that somehow better or different or more acceptable than what Michael Vick is accused of? Now, I'll be fair. I've never seen an NFL player intentionally dismembered for a weak performance on the field. But I think you get my drift. So let me take a break here, get caught up with some of our business, and then we'll go to your calls. There are lines available. Let me know what you think at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can comment on other topics, too. It's not an exclusive. But I would like to hear your thoughts on this comparative violence picture. Dogfighting, NFL football. You're next. 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Welcome to Your Solar Future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Let's do it.
Go ahead, turn up your radio. If you're stopped at a traffic light, open up the windows. Crank up the bass so you can compete with members of the hip-hop nation who are drowning you out. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open for you in the free speech zone. And Ellen from Trinidad was on the line but dropped. Maybe your cell phone crashed out or something. Ellen, I want to hear your story, so call us back, will you? The toll-free number here is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through. I got some interesting things to add to the mix here. Senator Levin and Senator Warner have issued a call for the ouster of the Prime Minister of Iraq. Not so sure that's the best idea these days. We'll air that out in a moment. And I have a bizarre fundraising email from the Republican National Committee. If there's time, I'll get to that this hour, too. But if you'd like to comment on what I think is the big story of the day, which is Michael Vick, the Falcons quarterback, agreeing to plead guilty to the dog-fighting charges, give me a call, 888-5-PETER-B. We go to Monterey, where John is on the line. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Great, man. I love your show.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, you talked about relating this to the NFL, but I think about all the cows and pigs and chickens that are killed on a daily basis. But then again, I talk about, you know, I think about Iraq, you know, how we're just lives and lives are just being destroyed. It's just, it's a bizarre thing, and it is hard to kind of comprehend. But him being an NFL star and stuff makes it even worse. But it's just, it is weird, like you said.
It is. And you know, I understand about football, and I'm not trying to make an extreme case here. But, you know, violence is a very much a part of that sport more than most others. I mean, I actually think rugby, which my son plays, is more dangerous.
It is. I was a scrub in rugby.
And I don't know why he likes it. The scrum just looks to me like a bunch of sweaty guys climbing all over each other.
It's the same sort of thing. You know, you just wonder, a guy who gets paid $130 million over a 10-year period
mm-hmm.
turns to this and... you know, has this been going on for a long time? Is this how civilization has been for a long, long time? We think about sacrifices, you know, with the Mayas and, you know, all the cultures and stuff. It's just, it's a weird thing. But, you know, is it Michael Vick? You know, there's so many people that I'm sure are involved in this sort of a thing. Are we just, you know, is he under the microscope because he's a star? But, again, there's so many different angles to the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
it gets confusing, you know.
Well, I understand that, and I also think that the way the media projects this, they love the fallen hero, and they like to exploit this idea of this very successful NFL star, by all accounts, a real achiever, who, you know, apparently he gets some thrills out of the game of football. But he needed extra thrills. And, you know, for him, it was satisfying to see dogs fight. And then I can't get into his mind and try to explain why he got pleasure out of torturing the dogs that didn't perform well and essentially, you know, just torturing them to death. But
addict, you know, we always want to get higher and higher.
Right,
you know?
but see, what I don't hear is people comparing that to the way our nation tolerates torture of detainees at Guantanamo, at Bagram, and at the black sites around Europe and elsewhere.
I totally agree. I think that we as Americans are so just numb. You know, I watched the John Lennon film about the his period when he was being crucified by Nixon and Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were people, just hundreds of thousands of people that were really marching against not only, you know, the war and all the injustice and but where are all those, where are we? You know, we're all at our computers, our TV, we're all inside. Here I am in Monterey, and so many people are outside enjoying this beautiful day, but there's all this injustice going around us, and we're just numb to it, and it, you know, I'm 47, and I, you know, I would love to just take a cross on my back and walk across America and say, look, you know, there's something wrong here.
Yeah. And John, when we try to establish some hierarchy of morality, we see, particularly those in power in Washington, and it's not all Republicans, but it's most Republicans and some Democrats, they are quite tolerant of the official violence that we have visited on Iraq and that we continue to perpetrate through this occupation. And certainly it's more complicated than that. I understand that. But when you boil it down, we are projecting the ideas that Bush articulates badly as freedom and liberty at the end of a gun barrel. And we are rationalizing and justifying this, saying that, well, we are benign. You know, the United States, we're not imperialists. We don't want their oil. We don't want to run their country. Well, some of those things can't be true because they are contradictory to the positions that we have taken and the ethical vacuum that we see when it comes to these issues. And we don't see enough Democrats, for example, who recognize the blood on their hands for voting for the current supplemental that extended the war in Iraq by 6 months.
Oh, how terribly disappointed are we with the people that we elected in there? Believe me, I hope that we all vote them out, and people like you and I should be voted in and do the right thing.
Well, I think I'm better on the radio than I would be in Congress, John. But maybe you.
And I'm better here at Monterey Beach.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you, Peter. I love your show.
Thank you. 888-5 Peter B. Now to Coos Bay, Oregon, where Debbie's listening on KBBR. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Brian. It's good to talk to you. Your original comment about the Michael Vick and the dog torture and the dog fighting, I had the unfortunate experience of living in a ghetto area in Sacramento, and that type of thing wasn't uncommon. It was a way to make money. It was a way to just have some excitement because some people had nothing. They all they had was drugs and mm-hmm. guns, you know, and that type of thing was fairly common.
So in your view, is this related to meth? And I have no idea what Michael Vick's, you know, favorite sports are other than football.
I would pretty much assume that if it involves torturing animals, that there's got to be a little bit more to it. Because, I mean, you know, there are a few people that are like that. And we always have the gladiator sport type things, the cockfighting, you know, mm-hmm. and all of that. But the torture that we go through beyond that, I mean, that to me just seems got to be drug or alcohol related.
Well, you know, it's a fair comment. You know, I don't know the details of his life. I barely pay attention to this guy. I've really only heard about
him. I don't either.
A few weeks ago, okay?
I never heard of him either. But I have heard a lot about the torturing of animals and the torturing of things. And that's been happening since the beginning of time, our you know, lack of respect. And then, you know, it kind of, your last caller made me think, he reminds me a bit of Bush. Vic does.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, they're both like these almost heroes that are just going around doing things that are completely unacceptable. I mean, torturing dogs, torturing Iraqis. What's the difference? I guess Vic is getting tried, and Bush is just having a merry old time.
Well, and here's another thing, and this sometimes gets me into trouble with you know, progressives and lefties. Because I draw a certain line when it comes to so-called animal rights.
Right.
And I do not attribute to animals the same rights as I attribute to humans.
Right.
And this is not to say that I rationalize or condone cruelty to animals. But I believe that cruelty to humans is much worse.
I believe we have a soul.
Than even the most grisly and intentional violence against animals. And
it's a different story, I believe, as well. And that
that gets you in trouble to some degree. But I'm a total dog lover. I mean, I love my animals like my own children, but I still believe there's a difference between humans and animals.
Mm-hmm.
A big difference.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, Debbie, because I think there's some people...
I shouldn't have drawn that exact line, should I have?
Well, but there are some people, I think, who get wrapped up in their love of animals, and it's understandable, and they end up imputing human-level values or human-level rights to those animals. And if you have a biblical view, you can say that, well, God created these animals to, keep the humans alive.
Right. There's definitely times I've been frustrated by animal fundraising when I know that there are really, really desperate people out there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I wanted to raise the point that we seem quite capable of developing outrage over an incident like this, which is clearly outrageous. But we are inured, deadened, hardened to the incredible array of violence that passes as entertainment on primetime television and on the big screen movies.
You're so right.
And to the levels of violence that really are built into our culture and our popular entertainment. And then we are surprised that young people grow up with aggressive tendencies, with insufficient appreciation of the value of a human life, including their own.
Right, exactly. I raised a teenager. I know that one.
Yeah. And so you had to combat incredible messages coming from powerful sources that were telling your child things that were antithetical to the values that you wanted to impart.
Absolutely.
So where do we go with this? Anywhere, or do we just say, Michael Vick's going to jail?
Actually, I moved to Oregon, and we haven't had to deal with it since. He's turned out to be a wonderful man, so that's the end of my story.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, Debbie, thank you for your call today.
Thanks.
Lines are open if you want to join this conversation, the Free Speech Zone till the top of the hour, and the switchboard is wide open, so give me a call. Let me know what you think. If you disagree with me, or if you think that I'm off base, hey, tell me about it. I'm not afraid. 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. Well, as I mentioned, Senators Levin of Michigan and Warner of Virginia, both respected and long-serving senators, and both of whom I think are thoughtful people, they took a trip to Iraq over the last couple of weeks. And they came back and issued a statement declaring the government of Iraq non-functional. Carl Levin said yesterday that Iraq's parliament should oust Prime Minister Maliki and his cabinet if they're unable to forge a political compromise with rival factions in a matter of days. Quote, I hope the parliament will vote the Maliki government out of office and will have the wisdom to replace it with a less sectarian and more unifying prime minister and government. Levin's statement, the most forceful call for leadership change in Iraq from a U.S. elected official, comes as about two dozen lawmakers are traveling to Iraq during this August break to get firsthand assessments before receiving a progress report written by the White House and delivered by General Petraeus in September. Now, let's think about this. I don't disagree that the Maliki government is weak and is unsuccessful at trying to forge reconciliation or some sort of unification of the warring factions in Iraq. But let's pause for a moment here and ask ourselves just how receptive Iraqis are to this kind of advice from America's elected officials. And wouldn't they be quick to point out that it was the Bush government that selected Maliki and that forced him on the Iraqi parliament? Yes, this is our hand-picked puppet. And now we're saying we want a new Charlie McCarthy in Baghdad. Again, I don't disagree. Maliki is weak, he's ineffective, and he has not been able to pull off the kind of reconciliation that America hopes for. But will it help him or any successor to see the United States calling the shots in Baghdad and saying, Maliki, we're tired of you. Why don't you get the hell out of here? I'd like to hear your reaction. The phones are lighting up, so we'll go back to the calls here in just a moment. A quick break, and we return to the Peter B. Collins Show.
sober stones. Do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. Sober Stones.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
And let's take a look at traffic and last traffic report of the night, by the way. And we're going to start off with a problem being reported. And let's cruise right on over to, how about, you know, folks, we had a problem on southbound 17, but it's cleared up, so we're not going to even talk about that anymore. The rest of 17 looking good. Northbound 17 looking excellent. Northbound and southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel, no problems to report. We're getting word of a problem. Let's see. This is an Aptos Townsend Drive at Aptos Beach Drive. It's a fender bender. It is off to the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this accident. And I can mention that minor injuries being reported as well. So fire department crews being summoned to the scene there. In fact, they are en route as we speak. Other than that, we're going to let you know this report is brought to you by IHOP. When you're on the go, let IHOP and go satisfy any quick craving. Morning, noon, or night, go to IHOP.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Summer song, and summer's fading quickly. The only place I'd rather be is San Francisco Bay, and give me an hour. I'll be out there under the bridge. We'll get back to your calls in here in just a second, but I wanted to acknowledge a great email that came in from the Republican National Committee. Dear Peter, the Democrats' politicization of the judicial confirmation process has gotten out of hand. While there are no current vacancies on the Supreme Court, Senate Judiciary Committee Democrats led by Pat Leahy and Senator Schumer have made it clear that the president's nominees to the federal courts will never again get a fair hearing. In fact, the Democrat-controlled do-nothing Congress has approved a scant 39% of the president's judicial nominations sent to the Senate this year. The Democrat leaders arrogantly believe they can simply run out the clock on the Bush presidency so they can rubber-stamp Hillary Clinton's or Barack Obama's liberal nominees in 2009. And then they ask for money. The politicization of the courts? These guys are incredible. Just incredible. And, of course, the Republicans used every tactic to block Clinton's centrist nominees in the late 1990s, and now they whine that the Democrats aren't moving fast enough to install more
right-wingers for lifetime appointments to our courts. Aw, makes you want to write him a check, doesn't it? Dan in Blue Lake, right there up in Eureka. I was there last October. Welcome to the program today.
Thank you. I wanted to say about Mr. Vick is that he's just the latest distraction like Michael Jackson. But what I really wanted to say about was is that except for Mike Malloy, none of you liberals ever talk about the 40 million people in this country that have no one representing them, have no voice, have nobody on the radio taking calls for them. That sensitizes the American people to just how desperate they are. I mean, you're going to go sailing when you get done today, you know. It's hard to feel sympathetic for someone who's he's worried about his world so he can go take his sailboat and go sailing. It'd be a little nice to hear you guys talk more about the people that are really in desperate straits because a lot more of us are going to be there, a lot more of us, and someone's going to need to be their voice.
Well, Dan, who's the 40 million you're talking about?
The 40 million people that fall through the cracks in America that are living either on the streets or hopelessly in hopeless despair because they haven't got much of a life, because they have no money, they have no job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those people have no voice, and nobody seems to ever want to talk about them. Or they just, you act like, we talk about all these little things like somebody, you know, is some we're all headed that way if things don't change. And you liberals are such well-intentioned fools. You really think human beings are good people. We're just mean monkeys, and we have to be, you know, taught not to be mean monkeys. It's nothing new there. I don't know why you're having trouble understanding that.
Hmm. Well, apparently, Dan, I'm having trouble understanding your worldview. Because on the one hand, you seem to feel that I'm insufficiently interested in average people. And on the other hand, you're offering this kind of anti-liberal rant that doesn't quite fit.
Well, it's not an anti-liberal rant. It's that liberals don't seem to have a real grasp on what the human condition is. They really don't. I'm not.
How the hell can you say that, Dan?
Because I listen to you talk. Like you said, you're going to go sell. You've been to Italy.
Yes.
You went to Italy for 3 or 4 weeks. Well, I wouldn't, you know, how many people do you think in America can afford to go to Italy for 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, you know, you can infer what you like.
Don't get defensive on me now.
I'm not. I don't feel defensive at all. I don't have any explaining to do. I spend a lot of my time and a lot of the time on this program dealing with issues of people who fit the 40 million that you just described. And so
I don't
feel out of step at all. I'm not sure where you're coming from, Dan.
Well, where I'm coming from is that why don't you go down to one of these ghettos and take your show down there and bring some of the mothers that live down there in those desperate conditions and let them tell America what they're up against every day on a daily basis. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's not a bad idea, and that's something I'm certainly willing to consider. We open up the phone lines here
they don't have telephones.
Well, come on. We pay for the call. You can go to a payphone and call a toll-free number anytime you want.
Well, they're not listening to shows like yours. What I'm saying is that...
And whose fault is that, Dan?
Well, I can't... That's not my problem to figure whose fault it is. I'm just trying to acknowledge a condition that none of you except Mike Malloy address, and that is... The millions of people in America who are doomed from birth, and someone needs to sensitize America to that. And we're talking about killing a million people in Iraq, and who's killing them? The poor people. That's who's in the military.
Mm-hmm.
They have no other option.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making killers of the poor, and then bring them back here. They'll be crazy, and they'll be killing some more.
Well, the other thing that I don't agree with you, I like Mike Malloy. He and I are pals, and I listen with respect to his program. But for you to say that Tom Hartman doesn't have the interests of average Americans in the middle class, have you read his book, Screwed?
The ones I'm talking about are not the average middle class. They are the underclass, and they are human beings, too, and they don't have someone speaking for them.
I think Tom Hartman is a very effective voice.
He's a very effective voice. I like you, Peter. I like you. Don't get me wrong. It's nothing personal.
No, I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to say and what acts you're trying to grind.
Not enough. These people are the American people in their distraction are not brought to the understanding that there are at least 40 million. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1.5 as many times as the people in Iraq have never got a shot. Going to never have a shot in this world in America. And no one ever speaks for them. You don't ever hear them on the radio. No one ever interviews
them. Well, see, that's just not true to say no one ever speaks for them.
Well, who does? Amy Goodman's the only one I can think of.
Well, you mentioned Malloy. I would mention Hartman. I think that Ed Schultz...
No, Ed Schultz doesn't.
Well, that's your opinion,
yeah.
Okay? But Ed identifies and is identified with by a lot of working people in this country.
I didn't say they're working. I'm telling the ones that don't have a job,
mm-hmm.
don't have any hope, that I'm living below. You know, these people live below the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with them. I've seen them. They're human beings. There's little children. There's mothers. Usually the mothers without any man helping them get by. You know, you've got more access to that information than I do. You can admit and find out how many women are on welfare in America. 35 million, 40 million women on welfare? I don't know. But I've worked with them in neighborhoods. I've seen the desperate condition their lives are in. I've seen how they have to live. I've seen their children be hungry. Not because they didn't get food stamps, because somebody stole their food stamps or someone
mm-hmm.
stole their food stamps.
All right, Dan. Well, I hear you, and I appreciate
thank you for
the
your
call.
Time.
You bet. Nice
Bye-bye.
To hear from you. I'm Peter B. Collins, and I'm still going sailing. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The CIA's own report damns the agency for not taking steps to stop 9/11, for not recognizing the very real threat Al-Qaeda had become. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
Lori Van Auken, who lost her husband in the World Trade Center, couldn't agree more.
This is just incompetence. We're just talking about complete and utter incompetence, and people should be held accountable, and we should know who they are, and they should be held accountable.
The report singles out then-director George Tenet, who nearly 3 years before 9/11 signed a directive declaring we are at war with bin Laden and directed that no resources or people be spared. But the inspector general found no strategic plan was ever created, and no extra money or people were added to operations against bin Laden.
It is one of the most powerful monster storms to ever roll across the Yucatan, and yet...
For all its power, Dean's Path was fortunate, taking it across one of the most sparsely populated sections of the coastline, near the cruise ship port of Costa Maya, which had largely been evacuated. The storm dumped huge amounts of rain, knocked out power, and brought flooding. But for major tourist resorts, Dean was just a windy rainstorm. Good news for the 20,000 tourists that rode it out.
CBS News correspondent Bianca Solorzano. Next, Dean returns over open water, regaining strength, and then slamming into the Mexican Gulf Coast. So much rain has been coming down for so long in parts of northern Ohio, this state trooper can't believe what he's seeing.
Working on the interstate for about 14 and a half years, and I've never seen boats on the interstate before.
More than 3 feet of water shutting down the highway, boats plying the interstate. Touchdown, Endeavor.
Make your touchdown.
The space shuttle returning to Earth. CBS's Peter King.
While Shuttle Endeavor made a perfect landing, Barbara Morgan has had a bit of a rough time.
The room still spins a little bit.
Instead of joining her crewmates for the traditional post-landing walk around the shuttle, she rested inside an air-conditioned bus. Morgan says readjusting to Earth was harder than adjusting to weightlessness. She was able to joke about it.
It's actually pretty interesting, if you could be in my body.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The Kennedy Space Center wrapping up.
The guy who caught the home run ball that broke the home run record, he'd like to share his prize.
I wanted to keep it. You know, it's such an important part of baseball history that I wanted to keep it, but...